I don't know if it's a sign of the times, a sign of my being less in the music games community, if it's because we've had simulators with no cost for decades, but Konami's PC gaming network has become a little bigger with the release of Dance Dance Revolution Grand Prix, and I haven't seen a lot of hype yet. The song list is incredible, and as I've loved about Modern Bimani, updates will doubtlessly continue to come. This is the Music Game Update, possibly the last of the year. Now it's time for your hosts, Rob Roberts, Jamie Summers, and Loki, to bring you more on this and the rest of the week's gaming news, starting right now on the show, where every gamer has a voice.
A voice. It is Orange Lounge Radio, and we are live with you once again for episode number 891 of our show for this November the 14th of 2021. My name is Rob Roberts, and joining me, as always, say hello first off to Dark Sakura, but you can call her Jamie Summers. Hi.
Hi.
How are you?
I'm all right. How are you?
I've had a few weeks. I've had a bit of a month. Maybe I'll talk about some of that later. But yeah, it's been a time.
I have big things happening.
Yeah, lots going on. Lots going on in video games too. I know a little later in the show we're going to talk about some of the issues that have come up as a problem with the Dead by Daylight test realm. But funny enough, the part that we're probably not going to talk about as much, so I'll talk about it now, is the actual new killer and survivor that were announced for the game, the Artiste. And I'm curious about
your thoughts. So we have the artist and we have Guy Fieri.
Yeah. Yes. No, actually his
name
is
FBI
Jonah.
Agent, whatever. I mean, I'm glad we have another Latino character.
Yes.
And actually we have two new Latin characters.
Mm-hmm.
So Carmina, the artist. First of all, I love her. I love her story and I love her level.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
The level is like three different surrealist paintings, like in one. Like you can see bits of Dali in, you know, the sandy landscape and the shape of the trees, and her little cathedral inside is almost perfectly based off of an Escher painting.
And this week is the week that the Hawkins Laboratory map is going away in Dead by Daylight because the Stranger Things license will be lost for the marketplace in the game this week.
The offerings are already gone.
Right. Yeah, the offerings are gone, and of course, to clarify, if you've already purchased Nancy, Steve, or the Killer, the Demigorgon, you will get to keep that. It's just you can no longer buy them. Yeah, you can no longer buy them after Friday. I think is the big day that is all being pulled. So anyway,
because we also know though that there's also Jonathan, who's only available as a cosmetic.
Right. So we're losing Hawkins Laboratory as a level, but this, you know, which is, you know, in a way it's kind of like, I know people have very strong feelings about indoor maps and I think Hawkins is superior to Leary's in my opinion, the other kind of like
wrong
doctor, whatever. Like I said, everybody has their opinion, but I think this new map, which isn't indoor, it's outdoor, mostly outdoor. It has a few indoor parts. It's mostly outdoor. I think this new map is like, oh, this is so damn good. It makes up for losing Hawkins.
They need to fix the lighting issues on the indoor though, because it's almost unplayable without improving your brightness or having some sort of filter. It's very dark.
Yeah, and it's on the test build for now, so you know there's lots of changes to come. But
that's what the point of the test build is to get feedback from the people playing it.
And I was just curious your early thoughts. Of course, the Killer and Survivor won't release for probably another 2-3 weeks, but it's nice to have that
Survivor
little
glance. Is useless. He's loud. He's large, and I'm not saying this in terms of, oh, yeah, he's a big guy. Because, I mean, I think it's good that we have more representation, but from a tactical standpoint, he's a large guy, which makes him an easier target. He is very loud. And honestly, I don't think his perks are all that great. However, Carmina is perfect all around. Her bird attack puts the chains, the axes, and the traps all to shame.
I think as far as the survivor goes, his perk that extends the run by 2 seconds when you get hit, I think that is a lot more. That's basically a sprint burst at the time you need sprint burst. And so I think that's kind of I think that'll be the perk people want. But we'll see.
A good killer is going to be able to compensate for it easy.
Most killers are going to be able to catch up on that extra two seconds anyway. I don't always go up against good killers. All right. Anyway, let's say hello to someone who doesn't play quite as much Dead by Daylight, but plays a lot of other stuff. Certainly Minecraft and a game we're going to talk about tonight. Hey, High Tech Master Loki.
I don't play any Dead by Daylight.
No. Oh, you don't play any Dead by Daylight. Well, no, I know. You have to buy the game in order to play it. Yes. That's okay. I know there's people that listen to this show that don't. It's all right.
Do they have it on Games Pass? I mean.
Yes. That's how I started it. Dead by Daylight is on Game Pass for PC or Windows Store and Xbox. That's how I started playing. That's how I got into it. Is I was like, oh, well, Alan seems to really like this game. It's free on Game Pass. What do I have to lose? And, well, apparently hours and hours and hours of my time is what I have to lose. But, hey, here we go. Isn't that the way with video games?
It is. Yeah, definitely.
So, what's the game you have playing behind you tonight? I feel like I've seen it before.
Yeah, you have seen it before, and it's Shoddy Glory. We have the Grand Theft Auto Definitive Edition. I think this is just Grand Theft Auto 3 right now, but it is a long play video. It might be all three. I don't know.
Yeah. I'm going to ask Dark Soccer to kick us off tonight in our discussion about everything that's going on with all of this. First, I do want to say hello to our chatters. Hi, folks over at twitch.tv/VOG Network, VOG Network, where we do tape live every Sunday night at 6 o'clock Pacific, 9 o'clock Eastern, right after the Bobby Blackwolf show. Hello, hello, hello to all of you. I've seen some new people in chat tonight, so hello to the new folks. Whether you're a longtime podcaster, first-time Twitch viewer, or whatever, you've been lurking, hello, hello all the same, and welcome to our happy little family.
Or from the Minecraft server that I also play on.
Oh, that could be it, too. Hello from Minecraft. Yeah. Hello from Dead by Daylight and my streams, Star Soccer streams. Who knows where people come from? But welcome, welcome. I want to say thank you, because I see a level 5 hype train going on. And it takes a lot of biddies and subs to get to a level 5 hype train. So I just wanted to acknowledge that and say thank you. We are taping a podcast. I haven't kind of given this disclaimer in a little while, so just a reminder, we are taping a podcast here, and I know usually on Twitch, if you're like playing a game or something, you usually kind of stop what you're doing and you know, stop and go, hey, thanks Pod Culture for the gift subs, you know, and stuff like that. And we do have, when we're live, we do have a ticker bar at the bottom that kind of shows that information that's going on. But since we are taping a podcast, we don't like to interrupt every 15 seconds with what we're talking about and say that. So we will say it all at the very, very, very end. And please know we appreciate it all the same. And I just do want to say thank you for the hype train going on right now. Okay. So let's talk about the train that derailed this week. And that is the Grand Theft Auto remasters. And
special.
Loki said, so, well, you didn't say that it was going to be a disaster, but you kind of said like, this is not going to be good.
They would put the minimal amount of effort in.
Yeah.
And yes.
Yes. And so yes, I would agree with that. That is a sentiment you've said. They would put the minimal amount of effort in. And that is showing in all sorts of ways. Dark Sakura, you have one very interesting way that effort ? Is showing up, right?
Yeah. I just thought, like, the moment I read it, I actually laughed my ass off. And then I thought about it, I was like, actually, that's probably not too much fun. Apparently, the rain is so hard in GTA Trilogy that it's unplayable. Someone put out a graphic comparison between the two, and, you know, it looks like the remaster was looking pretty good and everything, but when the effects came out, though, the effects were really negatively impacted. The dynamic weather, you know, which is really cool for immersion, get you into the game, make it seem like a real world. But in the new version of San Andreas, the rainstorms are absolutely terrible. Like, people are describing it as, it makes my eyes hurt, or I'm running in a flash flood, you know. It turns basically city rain into, you know, Alabama.
It's a heavy rain.
Yes, it's a heavy rain.
You'll just want to run around screaming, Jason, Jason.
But also, Jason. If you look at it story-wise, well, this is supposed to be like somewhere in California, right? California doesn't get rain like that. Not often. I was looking at the video.
About that point.
And this is Alabama rain. This is the rain I grew up with. People here would just go inside and never leave the house if it rained like that here. So
to be fair, that storm that happened up here the day I was at Disneyland, thank you very much, where it was a nice sunny day. Apparently that storm was kind of like that. I missed it all. So thanks. I didn't want to be here.
Even bad storms here don't get Alabama bad.
Over in our chat room at twitch.tv/VogNetwork, our voiceover guy, VX Jason XV, says, what? Get it? Let's see. Dark Tetsuya in chat says, I saw some of it via one of the YouTube folks I follow. Yeah, the rain was one of the things covered among a long list of others. Oh, yes, we'll get into some more. I want to save a nice slice of this pie for Loki here. And let's see. Questbuster in chat says, it sounds like it met their benchmark for being minimally viable. I don't know. From my perspective, yeah, sure. It probably met the conditions for minimally viable, but that doesn't also make a good product. But I also think it met their conditions for having the computer do all the work for you, for better or for worse. Like I feel like Loki, you tell me if I'm right or wrong. I feel like Grand Theft Auto Remaster is what happens when you let that little kid from the old G4 commercials that goes, I'm going to go to programming school and learn how to just turn up the graphics on level 3 with the little computer dial, right?
It's even worse than that, because, like, let's not, like, insult indie developers. I mean, Jesus, like, I think that they would put more care into it.
The Grand Theft Auto Remaster is what happens when you turn the graphics up on level 3 using a dial. They turn the graphics up using a lot of computer automation, if I'm not mistaken here, and a lot of stuff using this dial, and this is what you get.
Yeah, so they did several things that were not great. A lot of it, I think, using AI to upscale different things. I know one of the things that was pointed out in a video that I saw, because I haven't purchased this game. I'm not planning on purchasing it anytime soon.
You love Grand Theft Auto.
I do love Grand Theft Auto.
And people don't, not everybody may know this, because we have listeners that have listened for 2 episodes. We have listeners that have listened for 890 episodes. You love Grand Theft Auto, like, to the point when Grand Theft Auto 4 on Xbox 360.
I used to love Grand Theft Auto to the point, yeah.
Fair. When Grand Theft Auto 4 was all the rage on Xbox 360, you were in the top 100 players.
Top 100.
In the world. And there were millions of people to play a game.
People can rage quit on that. And that's the thing that's scary, is because we'll get to it, but, like, the rumor is that's the next one to get remastered. I'm like, don't do that. So they did a lot of automation to try and using AI to improve the graphics in the game, which sometimes works. We've seen that with, like, fan mods and stuff like that, where they'll take, like, Final Fantasy VII or something like that and upscale the background images and stuff like that. They use this to also upscale, like, text in the game, like, in the actual background and stuff, and it did its best, but it also misspelled things, because some text was illegible for the AI to be able to translate it correctly and upscale it. So you have things like, you know, there's an auto shop thing, and it's talking about, like, gear maintenance or something like that, and it says bear maintenance instead. And it's just, like, weird stuff. Then you have, like, the weird character models, which I have no idea what's wrong with that, but they're something, that's for sure. They increased the draw distance, which is good, but they also removed all the fog, which makes the game look really weird. And it's not that they can't do the fog, because you can actually put the cheat code to make it foggy, and it looks fine when you do it like that. But anyway, so let's start off with kind of the stuff that has been going on. So the PC version of the game has the Rockstar Games launcher app, which I really hate that they have that, but for the Rockstar Social Club, they have their own launcher app, and this is how you're able to play Grand Theft Auto. So if you purchased it on PC, you may have noticed that the launcher app went offline. It just stopped working for a little bit. Finally, they were able to bring it back online. However, you can't play Grand Theft Auto anymore. That game you just purchased, you can't play the whole definitive edition It has been taken offline because they're removing some unintended data files that were included in the game. What are those data files, you may ask? Well, it is basically a master cut of the, well, basically the full Grand Theft Auto San Andreas. So you may remember a while back that there was the whole hot coffee mod thing, and there's additional scripts that were unused, but they were still included in the game. Well, this has that, those same scripts. They have removed some of the models and stuff from the game, but they also included dev comments, cut content, a whole bunch of stuff that's just weird that it's even in there. But being the fact that they got in trouble with the hot coffee thing, even though it wasn't something you can play in the game, being that the code was there, they got, you know, that game had an AO rating. And apparently also all of the audio, the music tracks that got cut in this version of the game as well are still on within there, but they're disabled by scripts. So how hard would it be for someone to modify that? Who knows? But there's, yeah, definitely a lot of issues.
Well, I think on the modder question, we're about to find out. Questbuster, kind of going back to the rain thing, brings up in our chat at twitch.tv/VogNetwork. Questbuster says, after modders were chased away by Rockstar in the preceding months, I've read that modders have already started working on fixing the rain. This is hilarious to me that modders, who Take Two have really gone out of their way to piss off, are now going to be the ones that are going to start fixing the game. That blows my mind.
Yeah, just this week, they already had more DMCA strikes against modders. So, for example, they had three mods that were kind of taken down because of this. One of those being GTA Advance PC port. So what that is basically converting GTA Advance, which was only on the Game Boy Advance, into the GTA 3 engine. And then also they had the Lost and Damned Unlocked, which was basically the DLC for Grand Theft Auto 4, but there's stuff that was cut from that, and so it's kind of restoring that. And then, oddly enough, a Grand Theft Auto 4 Episodes of Liberty City Lost and Damned 65% complete save file, which isn't even a mod, it's just a save file so that you can start with the game 65% complete. I don't get that one. I don't even understand how they can take this stuff down. Like, it's just, it's ridiculous just what they're doing here. But obviously, it signals to me that they're looking to do more of these remasters.
Maybe they shouldn't.
Or, well, maybe whatever team was doing this. So this wasn't done by them necessarily in-house. It was done by some Grove Street Studios or something like that, which Grove Street, that was a reference to San Andreas. I don't know if it's like a spin-off internal studio type thing, but basically, you know, this is the team that was handling it, and it's such a mess.
Like, I'm sure there were a lot of people working very hard on this who didn't have enough time. It's got to be with this. It's always what it comes down to. Somebody at the top wanted to get this out a lot faster than what was realistically possible because they don't know what all really goes into it.
And like some of the character models though that they did in the game, like they just look terrible. Like the originals look better than this. Like I just don't understand what choice. I understand, you know, maybe not making them look realistic, fine, but like just the direction that they went with it is so weird. I just don't get it.
Well, I think this is, they were expecting this to be a huge holiday title for them, and I think this backlash is gonna, you know, here we go. Here's our Cyberpunk 2077 for the year. Here it is. There's always some game around the holiday season that shouldn't have come out for the holidays.
Not even just this game. There's a lot of games out right now that just came out recently that are a giant mess, and it's just consistent that we see this all the time. We have studios just rushing games out and then apologizing later about the state that they're out in. It would be less like, I'd be less angry about it if they weren't like coming down on modders to like, you know, they're trying to just improve the game and like,
well, they don't have to.
No, I understand they don't
have to.
But I get
it.
But like, but at the same time, some of these projects that they're doing aren't necessarily hurting anything, I think, but they feel differently, obviously, with their games, kind of locking that stuff down.
I think the modders shouldn't help them. But you know what? It's not my time. It's not my effort. It's not my choice. But it's, you know, and I'm not certainly – a lot of these folks are extremely talented what they're doing with the mods, especially, you know, so quickly on the game. So I'm certainly not going to talk down or bad about them. But I just – I certainly wouldn't be making the same choice. I'd be playing something else and modding something else right now. But I get it, I guess. You know, when you love something that much, you want to see it succeed and – you'll do anything to try to nudge it in the right direction, even when it maybe doesn't deserve it.
Yeah.
Let's see. Bobby Blackwolf with a fair point on that whole thing, saying modders are helping out of spite so they can give a big middle finger to Rockstar. I understand what it's like to be motivated by spite, so I'll give you that. Fair. That may be the whole thing. SSGO100 Matt with a funny OLR history tidbit. Hot coffee controversy was first mentioned for the first time on the show on episode 197. That was July 11th, 2005, per the wiki. Thank you for that little update. So yes, what's old is new again. There we are.
So Grove Street Games, I was just looking that up. I guess it's just a coincidence about the name of that. But aside from, you know, the Grand Theft Auto trilogy, so they've done... the Bully Scholarship Edition, which was done not that long ago, and then Ark Survival Evolved on... Oh, never mind. I think this kind of explains it. So they've been working on mobile ports of these games. So Ark Survival Evolved on iOS and Android, and Bully Anniversary Edition on iOS and Android. Chinatown Wars, Grand Theft Auto San Andreas... So they actually did the ports for San Andreas on PlayStation 3 and Xbox 360 as well.
Hmm.
But yeah, they've been mainly working on iOS and Android ports of the Grand Theft Auto, actually any of the Rockstar Games stuff. Interesting.
Very. So what happens now, Loki? What do you think? Where do we go from here? Like, does Take-Two just have to write off that, well, those millions of copies we expected to sell are going to get reduced because the internet figured out we cut too many corners with this?
Maybe they'll come back and fix the issues. I don't know.
If people even care at that point. Somebody brought up we were talking about – well, hold on, because we were talking about this on Twitter, and somebody had jumped in and replied. I think you were tagged in this too and said, whatever happened with Cyberpunk 2077 anyway? Like, and in a way, good question. What did ever happen with that? No one talks about it anymore.
It's still being – well, the people talk about it still, but it's just still in progress. Like – they've already pushed back once again the PlayStation 5 and Xbox Series X versions of the game. I don't know. I don't think any DLC has been worked on any, you know, recently. They're still putting out patches. I haven't played the game in over a year. Well, not over a year because I don't think it was out then, but about a year. I mean, shortly after it came out, I stopped playing it and just kind of waiting for all the patches to be done. But. Yeah, I mean, I would love to see a remaster of 4. Just
but not please, like this.
Just please don't break it. I would love to see 4 come back with deathmatch. Oh god, I would love to have the deathmatch back like it was before, but they won't do it.
She-Hulk 10 in our chat brings up a good point that refunds. Refunds, that's another thing that Take-Two has to deal with all this, just like, you know, what happened with CD Projekt Red. Now, maybe not on that same scale with CD Projekt Red because that got really ugly. Well, and this story may not be done. We'll see. It took a few weeks for the Cyberpunk issues to get there. But with the refund thing, you know, we see people taking advantage of that already on, you know, on this game. So that's going to be interesting. Yeah. All right. And lastly, we'll close with this question here. SSJ100 Matt says, so how much did Loki laugh maniacally when he saw this?
I didn't. It was more like kind of figured this was going to be the case. It's just, I don't know. I kind of like I'm surprised just that at how bad it is. Like, because some of the like remaster stuff that they've done wasn't too bad. Like I want to say like the and this same company worked on it. Like the Xbox 360 version of San Andreas wasn't super bad. I'm really surprised at let's take it back, like the absolute bare minimum. Like if we just upscaled the graphics in the game, maybe not even necessarily the models. Oh, so here's one that was also like how could they get this so wrong? So I was watching a video showing gameplay of this being done by Matt McMuscles. He does a bunch of funny critique videos and stuff like that. And so he's showing gameplay of Grand Theft Auto 3, and all of the audio in the game is slowed down, it's really weird. And he's like I rebooted my system, I restarted the game, it's still doing this. And he was playing on, I don't remember, it may have been the Switch, it wasn't the Switch. It was one of the console versions, PlayStation 5 maybe, or Xbox Series X. And yeah, it was just the audio was just all distorted and just slow, just dropping really deep. everybody, it was weird. But that's what I'm talking about. That is the bare minimum. You got it right. Just pour it over the audio as it was before. Why is the playback speed wrong? That's something that you should have caught in testing. That's not something we'll fix it later. That's bad.
I think to go back to the original comment too about laughing maniacally, it's one of those things where it's like, I don't know if we take pleasure in this news.
Oh, I don't take pleasure in it.
Yeah, it's really frustrating, Loki, kind of as we started off talking about, when you kind of saw it coming. And when we see this happen too much in this industry where these projects are not given the time that they need or the manpower or the resources or the investment that they need in order to be successful. And it's a bummer.
It's a matter of looking at, let's not say that Rockstar Games doesn't put any effort into Grand Theft Auto. They put in a lot of effort into, they put in some effort into Grand Theft Auto Online because that's where they're making their money. That's why I figured when we're talking about a new version coming out, a remaster or whatever, I wasn't expecting a ton of changes. It was just kind of, the bare minimum. That said, though, when we're talking about companies that are putting the bare minimum and re-release their games a billion times, at least, the new Skyrim game looks, pretty good. considering that they didn't really do too much to it, they just kind of slightly improved the graphics a bit and added a bunch of paid mods in there. It still probably plays better. It's probably a better, purchase versus what we got here with Grand Theft Auto. A game that they're charging $60 for, by the way, for that.
Not if you're upgrading from a prior version. So, I get your point. I get it. All right. Let's move on, though. Let's talk about. We got other gaming news to get into, and we will. But it's always good to check in and see what types of games we have been playing this week in a segment we call "How Was Your Gaming Week?" So let's go back to Dark Sakura. And I'm guessing she probably hasn't played a lot of Grand Theft Auto, but we'll see what she has playing in your gaming week.
I haven't actually touched Animal Crossing yet, which I'm really kind of upset with myself about, but I've had a lot going on. So it's just basically been Dead by Daylight and Fantasian. Mm-hmm. Though I found an RPG I might be starting called Turnip Boy Commits Tax Evasion.
That sounds fun.
And I found a version of Power Washing Simulator for Mac, so I might be starting that.
That's fun. I love that game.
I've been eating something just a little bit mindless to sit back with after
work. It is extremely mindless. Extremely. Yeah. I haven't played it in a while, but it's extremely mindless.
Well, the other thing going on is that I may have a period coming up where I'm off work for about 3 weeks. And I am thinking about doing a stream every day.
Ooh. That's a big challenge.
So I can get that, stream for 25 of 30 days achievement.
Oh, yeah.
But, right now, I can talk about it later, but I've got stuff going up, coming up soon that it's going to require me to be off all of my meds. Look out, world. Cold turkey.
Well, let us know how we can help. If we can help.
Probably just don't talk to me.
Well, if you have to take time off the show or something, let us know. Whatever we got to do.
We'll see. All right. But at any rate, I will probably be playing and cussing at a lot of games during that time period, and I will let everyone know.
All right.
Entertaining.
Well, if that's it for your gaming week, let's go to Loki. How was your gaming week?
So my week was pretty much just playing Minecraft. I've been really trying to hustle to put out my next video. So I've been working on that. I have a large build that I did. Probably a little bit too large for one video. But yeah, I've also distracted myself by playing on another server as well. So I've been doing that. Probably splitting my time between two servers is not the best thing to get weekly videos out. But, you know, it's fine. And then what else? So I've been thinking a lot about doing the physical release of Pixel Poops number 2. So we've got this Sacramento, they have like a game expo thing, classic game expo, not really a classic game expo, but it's like a gaming expo that they do in December.
It's a mini convention.
Yeah, like a mini convention. I went to it last year. It's pretty fun. But they've got a lot of like retro collector like YouTubers and personalities that are going to be attending as well. And I think like it might be a good idea to hand out some physical freebies for, you know.
Oh yeah.
For
get
them,
your
maybe.
Game, get your game in front of people. Absolutely. Yeah, so YYR, I would imagine, I mean, hopefully he's listening and can confirm or deny with a tweet or something, but going to MAGFest and getting that game, his various games in front of people, like nothing sells that super multitasking, like playing it and showing it to people. Yeah. Like that's how you sell that game. And so I think that's a big thing. Yeah. And I think especially if you're going to go to a gaming show and say, here is this game that I made and you can buy it right now. Scan this QR code or pay me $10. Well, you'd have to have a vendor license for that. So you want to get careful with that stuff.
Yeah. But they had booths, and I thought about that, but I just don't think I'd be able to attend both days. So that's why I haven't been doing it. But yeah, they've got like, I'm trying to think who was there, but you know, like Pat, the NES punk.
Oh, you want to get your game in front of people the other way by actually giving them copies of stuff to check out. Oh, it's clever.
Yeah. They get people talking about it and stuff.
Sure.
Because it's like, I've seen a lot of like press coverage of like different games that it pretty much have to do a Kickstarter to do, get like the coverage because, people see all sorts of different NES projects and they like make articles about it and stuff because it's a thing to talk about. A game about people pooping on stuff is on the NES is going to make articles. I mean, that has clickbait material. It's just like, can you believe what's coming on the NES? I mean, just
can you believe
have...
this poop? I see Dark Sokka trying to drop a zinger, but you're muted.
You should have a catchphrase. Just get shit on.
Get shit on.
But yeah, something like that. Just need to put it out there. I do want to make physical copies though. I have to check. I need to really like source like packaging and whatnot. There's like different companies you can work with. Like I know the one that they got the coverage on, Broke Studios, is who actually purchased my my actual boards through, and they also do publishing as well. I just don't know how you get that kind of an agreement. There's other like companies too that'll do like kind of publishing. I even seen like little limited run games and stuff will do publishing and stuff like that for NES things. I just don't know who to talk to for that kind of stuff, but maybe start with Broke Studios. But there's that. There was it the that magazine thing, so I'll have to figure out when that's coming out. There's another Nest Maker, like not really competition, but they do this thing every year that's almost like a game jam, but this year they're not doing a game jam because of the weird scenario everybody's in. So they're basically saying you can like submit your game from any game, like it brand new, it's been out for a while, you published it already, you can submit as part of this kind of event thing, and then they'll do awards and whatnot. So I did that for this year, and eventually I'm hoping they get their Retroverse setup going, because that's supposed to be like a portal where you can actually play games online, you purchase through there. Eventually they'll do like, you know, actual physical publishing of different things. That'd be really convenient, but it's gonna be a while. I'm still thinking about it. I just have to figure out the logistics for it.
All right.
That's pretty much it.
Let's talk about my gaming week. So for my gaming week, I have been continuing to play Pikmin Bloom, which had a community event on yesterday, which was kind of interesting. That game did launch that long ago, and it's already having a community event. Because that game is a little more passive in the way that it plays, you know, the community event was kind of the same way. It was really just, you know, get 10,000 steps within this day for a special badge. But if you are checking the game, the flowers are kind of blooming rarer stuff. I didn't see it, but a friend of mine got a rose to spawn, which I didn't even know roses were in the game. But I mean, it makes sense in a game that, you know, has a lot of flower stuff. So I guess that was spawning in some circumstances and so forth. So there's a lot of neat stuff going on. And, you know, I've been talking about Pikmin Bloom a lot, and I'm like, what is it about this game that, you know, I just keep coming back to? Is it because it is very much a set it and forget it kind of thing? And, you know, what it's a little bit of everything, but, you know, just being able to incentivize the walking and, you know, encourage me to get more steps and, you know, get out and exercise and do all that. This game landed really at the right time for me. Something I've talked about on social media this past week, which, I guess I should probably bring up here because not all of you follow me on social media. I don't know why. You're certainly making a choice. No, I'm kidding. I get it. But something I talked about in a lengthy post earlier this week is that around Halloween, I found out I have type 2 diabetes, which is probably not a thing that you associate with. You know, everybody thinks of Wilford Brimley, right? The old guy from the Cocoon movie and that stuff and those commercials. So you don't always associate that, but with being a little bit younger, I don't think I'm old. I think I'm still pretty young, all things considered. So that was kind of a shock and a shitty thing to find out. And I could sit here and dwell on all the why did this happen? Genetics, my grandma had it. And all this stuff. But I just kind of have to take this.
And with your other issues with having pancreatitis before.
Oh, sure.
I think that there's a definite link. If you were having troubles with processing fats, that you're going to have trouble processing sugars.
Yeah, but it's, you know, and again, the weird part was, is that, you know, again, I've been tested just as part of like a regular blood panel pretty much every year, except last year, because I don't think anyone was going to the doctor's office last year. There wasn't a vaccine yet, et cetera, et cetera. So I had labs done in 2018, completely normal. 2019, completely normal. 2020, pandemic. Now this year, some symptoms start to show up. I get my blood taken. Complete type 2 diabetes, not even a pre-stage, which a lot of people kind of find out for. In 2 years, I went from normal to wow. And it sucks. And there's no, you know, easy way for me to say it. I also try to remain humble and you know, so forth in the fact that there's a lot of people I know with type 1 diabetes who have had it since they were very young. And, you know, it's just something they've been dealing with their entire lives. I have had 43 years of, you know, having it okay. So, and now just, you know, this is the thing that I have to take on and try to, I don't know if it, you know, I don't know. I've heard some things that you can kind of reverse it. You can kind of put it in remission. You can kind of put it to sleep for a long time. I'm trying not to kid or fool myself. But I'm trying to definitely turn the tide the other direction. And walking, exercise, making that a part of my routine again, because since the pandemic happened, and here's something that's changed in the past 2 years, I haven't been exercising as much. I'll go on big walks once in a while. I still do things. But when I was working in the office, I would walk on like every break. And I haven't really been doing that since I've been working from home. I think a lot of people have kind of changed a lot of their lifestyle stuff. And that's what allowed those sorts of things to happen in just 2 years. So my point is, as much as that news sucks and I'm dealing with it and processing it, and thank you. I see several of you in chat saying I'm dealing with this too. So thank you. And I really appreciate that. And I see you. Is this whole, okay, if I'm going to do this thing and I'm going to take this head on, am I going to take it seriously and I'm going to walk and make sure I'm getting my 30 minutes of exercise every single day. Pikmin has been hugely, at the right time, instrumental in motivating me to get out and get some steps and cook these little Pikmin and hatch them and send them off on their missions and all that crap. So if it seems like I'm talking about this game a lot, it's because it was exactly what I needed at the right time, whether it's a good game or not. So I think that's a lot of that. So anyhow, other games that I've been playing this week. I've been playing Forza Horizon 5 because that just came out for everybody this week.
I forgot about that.
Oh, get it. Get it. It is.
I know. I'm absolutely going to get it.
It is magnificent. I mean, and these games are always set up so well that in the first, 10 minutes during the introduction, it's like this fucking game.
Most epic thing ever.
Cars
yet.
Flying out of planes, into volcanoes, racing down, doing jumps, whoosh, another car dropping out of a plane. Now you're, I mean, way to show off the game in like 10 minutes. What a masterpiece of the hook. Hooking people into wanting to play more of this game. And then, once you really get going and you get settled in the game, it's really lovely that it's like this open world you can do. I mean, has the formula changed from Forza Horizon 4? Not really. It's more of the same, but I ask you, is that a bad thing? Because Forza Horizon 4 was a fucking marvelous game. Obviously, the biggest change with Forza Horizon 5 is it's a new setting. It's Mexico. Lends itself wonderfully to a varying environment and things I don't always think about when it comes to, going to visit Mexico. I wasn't thinking about volcanoes in Mexico ever. I don't associate Mexico with that. But that was really cool. No. I associate it with resorts and the beach. And that's represented, too, in the game.
I've never been... That's never been what I've associated Mexico with. I've always had to remind myself that they exist.
So everybody has their own things, right? And what a beautiful piece of art to put all of that diversity in Mexico on display front and center. One thing I really caught in the opening credits of the game was that there was a partnership with like the Mexican Tourism Board. I don't think that's the actual name of it, but that's what it is. This game partnered with the Mexican Tourism Board. And I... 150% get why. Because this game will make you want to go to Mexico. It's gorgeous. It looks great. It will make you want to more. It looks great and it's more of that. And the game itself, great. I don't really know what I can say about it. Like, it is a top of the line racing game. Not a simulator, more of an arcade, but there are so many types of difficulty sliders and accessibility things. So you can make this game as easy or as hard as you want. You can make this game as easy as like push the accelerator and the rest of the work is done for you, mostly. It really depends on what you're looking for in your game. But it's just such a nice little, I'm going to play this game for 5 minutes, do one little race, and then I'm done. Or I'm going to play this game for 3 hours and I'm going to do every single little event in this area and find every little board and every little thing. I'm going to do all of this stuff. And that's what I'm going to do in the game today. This game is magnificent. It is a must play. Forza Horizon is Microsoft's flagship series. If you were thinking it was Halo, I'm not so sure anymore. But the nice thing is, it's great that Microsoft is at a point where this is even a discussion. Because for so many years, I've heard, Microsoft is nothing but shooty, shooty, bang, bang, Halo, sports types of games. There's nothing on Xbox for me. And if that is, and I've said this before, and with the release of this game, if you are going to continue to say that in the face of this game, I really need you to get your ass out of 2007 and look at what Microsoft is doing now in 2021. It is much different, and this game is an achievement. It is absolutely Game of the Year material, and I absolutely expect it to show up on the short list when we start talking about five games nominated for Game of the Year. This game will be one of them. The only complaint I see that people will have about this game is that it's not doing that much more that four didn't already bring to the table. I suppose that's a valid criticism. However, if you eat a cookie and it's really good, like this is the best fucking cookie you've ever had in your life, don't you just want to have another cookie? Like, maybe I shouldn't be the one making this analogy right now, but like, I, it's all I can think of. It's great. Anyway, Let's see. Tiger Claw in chat says Halo is overrated. It's all about the Forza now. I think depending on who you are, yeah, and there'll be people that will say that, no, the Microsoft franchise is Gears. Gears is better than Halo for the following reason. Or the flagship series is, you know, Ori and the Blind Forest, which I, or the Ori series, which I certainly would not fault you for saying that either. I think the interesting thing about this game is that more than anything, I was sitting here playing this game going, this studio and this engine and this concept of do a little, do a lot, do a quest over here, a quest over there. This is the new Fable studio. This studio is working on the new Fable game.
I'm very excited about that.
My expectations for the new Fable game are so fucking high right now. And I know, and I am the first one to say, don't get your expectations out of control for games ever.
Calm thy tits.
Too late. No, I can't, Dark Sakura, because this game is too good. It just sets up, you know, like Fable, like I imagine what Fable can be within this. And it's just, I'm like, I'm so excited and the bar is so high, and it is Playground Studios' fault for doing that. So anyway, Mr. Izos in chat says, never played a Forza Horizon game, but man, watching videos and reading reviews, I'm going to get this for sure. Looks really fun. Best argument for Game Pass right now. Incredible argument for Game Pass right now. So anyway, Forza Horizon 5, it's great. Rob Roberts said the quote, put it on the back of the box. It's great. We have a club here at VOG Network, so if you search for the tag VOG, which I don't think people can repeat tags, so I think we grabbed it. I don't know what else uses that acronym, but okay. Maybe there's fans of that volcano and the fog that it produces, but that that tag is now ours at the Voice Geeks Network. So we do have a club, so I encourage you to look it up if you are playing Forza Horizon 5. I'm hoping to... in the coming weeks, I don't want to promise next week. Obviously, with what I just told you and everything, I've been dealing with a lot lately. But hopefully things will settle down in the next couple weeks and we can look at maybe doing like a Forza night here on the stream and, you know, play together and all that stuff. So we'll see. the other thing I want to point out, one other game I played this week, and Loki, I really thought of you because this really seemed like the type of game that was up your alley. It was on Game Pass, so it was one of those things when I was scrolling through to see what's new, I saw this, and I was like, okay, I have to check this out. It's a game called Kill It With Fire. Have you seen this?
I know what the game is, yes.
You
know
I've heard of it.
Okay, so you start in this little house, and then what happens, these spiders show up, and you will stop at nothing to kill these spiders, meaning you're throwing televisions at them, you're throwing game consoles at them, you are breaking bookshelves, and then at some point you find a can of hairspray and a match, and you're setting things on fire, but with the all-important purpose of killing these little fuckers. And I, what a brilliant concept for a game, because how many times has somebody said to you, oh my God, I just saw a spider, and your response is, well, you got to burn the house down now. Like, you know, somebody literally made a game out of that little joke. And so that's really cute. I'm going to be honest. It didn't snap as well as I was throwing the TV at the spider many times because I'm not sure if I was understanding the trick on how to do it or what the deal is. It's much easier when I have a gun. And yes, at the end of the first level, you get a gun and you can start shooting the spiders. That I get, but like, I was until I looked up and saw that this game was originally made for mobile devices. And so I was like, oh, you were probably throwing the furniture. Well, at least, or it came out on mobile devices. So you're probably throwing the furniture like Pokeballs, and it probably kind of plays a little bit better in that regard on a mobile device. So that's my little.
What if you like spiders?
Then don't play this game. Because
yeah,
you do nothing but kill them in this game. So that's it. And the little music will come up and, you know, like it's really funny. Like there's a lot of the presentation that's really well done in the game. But I felt it was very unforgiving in its first level in just like how to play it. But at the same time, you can't lose it either. Like they're not poisonous spiders who like try to bite you or eat you or anything. So there is, or at least not in the first level. I don't know what happens beyond that. yet. But yeah, I felt it just took me too damn long to kind of get through that first level because it was kind of hard. So that's my only kind of thing there. But I love the idea as a concept for a game. And maybe in a sequel, especially if they kind of have the consoles in mind, maybe they'll kind of be able to make something that snaps a little more. And hopefully this game, you know, does well for them. So, okay, I think that's about it for my gaming week. I've talked enough.
No.
Me? Talk? All right. Mm-hmm. Let's get into some other gaming news. Let's get to Loki and starting us off with news. I was trying to think if there's any housekeeping. I don't think we have any tonight. So we'll just get right on into some other. Okay.
Never mind. It's nothing.
Are you sure? Okay.
I'm sure.
All right. Then let's go to Loki with our headline tonight.
Yeah. So the Steam Deck has been delayed, unfortunately. And it's thanks to the wonderful chip shortage that we're still in the middle of, so supply chains and whatnot. I think, though, it's only being delayed, though, until, a few months. So they're going to start shipping to customers starting February 2022. So if you obviously were in queue to get, you know, a Steam Deck around that time, it's going to be pushed back even further, obviously. So it's about a two-month delay, but at least it's still coming. To be expected, I suppose. Along with that, the little handheld play date has been delayed to 2022 because the battery life on the first units that they put out weren't very long, and they are looking to improve that. So, that's too bad.
Hope you weren't looking for new hardware this year.
I'm surprised that the battery life on that would be pretty low, because the type of screen that it has on there, it's got like one of those old e-reader screens, kind of like mm-hmm. the e-papers type things. Mm-hmm. I'm surprised. I don't think those are very battery draining, but I guess.
It sounds like the creators were a little surprised that it couldn't get better battery life either. So, you know, they were very transparent, you know, with all their reasons. It's hard to read what those Playdate creators kind of put out there and not like understand what's happening. It's a level of transparency I bet we wish from a lot of gaming companies, but
least they're willing to fix the mistakes and not just push it out the door.
Absolutely. Like, yeah, I'm sure this Stream Deck news is frustrating for a lot of people, but then, you know, you look at this as the yin to the story we just talked about at the top of the show, Yang, and it's like, all right, push it back, because it's got to be done. Well, and if literally the parts aren't there or the parts are not arriving to get them done, it's also kind of like we literally can't make them. So what do we do? Right. You know, that's it. So that's, you know, it's a bummer for the folks that were looking forward to those for the holiday or even early 2022. But maybe it'll just help them be that much better by the time they're released. Yep. At least that's what we've got to tell ourselves, right? I would love to get one of the. I want to see really what the. I have a few friends that pre-ordered that Playdate. I have some that did the Stream Deck too, Steam Deck. The Stream Deck is a different thing. I had some that ordered the Steam Deck, and I'm curious to see that. I really am, but I'm really, really curious for this Playdate because the games on Steam Deck, I know what they're all going to be. I've played all those games. I'm curious about what and the Crank and everything that like what this Playdate really kind of brings to the table. I'm very curious to see, you know, for an indie, you know, again, I know it's not competing with the likes of the Nintendo Switch or anything. It is very much an indie console, indie thing, but I'm curious for that reason what it brings to the table. A lot of the indies have brought a lot of good shit to the table, so
yeah,
be interesting. All right, moving on, let's talk about what's going on with Dead by Daylight. So we talked a little bit, Dark Soccer and I talked about, how the public test build came out earlier this week and it featured a brand new killer, the artist, and, a brand new survivor.
Oh, she's so great.
Who's a CIA agent. And, that talk aside, because it doesn't matter, you know, some of you guys love it when we talked Dead by Daylight. Some of you are like, fast forward. And like, look,
they're
like,
talking about that Debbie person again.
Yeah. No matter where you are on the issue, this is not what you think, because this isn't really about the game itself. But it's about a problem that is recurring in the gaming scene. And it's showing up in a really nasty way this week because of the Dead by Daylight public test build. And what's happening is that Dead by Daylight streamers are getting attacked with denial of service attacks, sometimes known as DDoS attacks, also doxing and in some pretty extreme and shitty cases, swatting. So let's see, some tweets and things that have gone out. A YouTuber named John Wolf sent out a tweet: getting DDoSed repeatedly on stream tonight, so that was fun. Not sure I'll be streaming tomorrow unless I can figure out how to prevent it. I've had people DDoS the game server I was playing on before, but this was an attack on my home network. Any advice would be appreciated, by the way. So here's the thing, is that when you play on the public test build, as I understand it, and Dark Soccer, you'll feel free to jump in if you have a different understanding, but when you're playing the live game, Dead by Daylight, you are connecting to a server, and then everything is happening through the server. In the public test build, you are connecting peer-to-peer, which I think is what Dead by Daylight used to be in the first
year
or two. And then it went to the server, and now the public test build is done, again, peer-to-peer. And
you are correct.
Yeah. Okay, so that means when you get match made with strangers, you can't – it doesn't show their IP, but you can find it because you're connected to them in a peer-to-peer environment. A lot of people that play Dead by Daylight, more so than a lot of other games out there – it happens in a lot of other games too – but what's unique to this situation, you get a lot of people that put TTV in their name or YT in their name to show that they are a Twitch streamer, because some people like to watch, like, and go back and see what was the match from the killer's perspective or something like that. That is a lot of fun to watch sometimes. In fact, what I, not to digress too much, but I just have to say, two streamers that I enjoy, and I know Dark Soccer, you really love these folks too, Losing Color. Mm-hmm. Went up against Puddins and his mod squad, which included which includes Flea, who sometimes is here at OLR. Hi, if you're out there.
Yeah. But anyway,
and Flea streams too, so a shout out for his streams. But the point is, those two got randomly matched, not in the PTB, but I just want to tell us this as an aside. Those two got randomly matched against each other, and because the killer can see who the survivors are, Losing Color knew right away, it's Puddins. The others didn't know until, oh, God, it's a nurse. Oh, God, it's a good nurse.
They guessed, though.
Yeah, because I was watching Puddins when it happened. I wasn't active in chat, but I was
watching. And I was in LC's chat.
And Puddins had the they saw the rainbow flag, and they were like, oh, they said, somebody check Losing Color stream. Is he live? And somebody came back and said, yep, he's live. And, like, Puddins put out this, oh, fuck, it's over, like, type of thing. But anyway, I tell you all that because there is a lot of enjoyment. And you know what I did after I watched that match on Puddins and watched the survivor? And Losing Color cleaned house, of course, on that match because...
Oh, yeah. And Puddins, let Puddins go, though.
Well, they did. And Puddins' team made the mistake. They didn't know because they don't know who the killer is or what. They played the best. They played Losing Color's absolute favorite map. They played the offering for that map because they had a different game plan in mind. They didn't know it would be Nurse and Losing Color. So when Losing Color saw that offering pop up, he was like, a present. Anyway,
it was pretty funny. Well, and I was like, oh my God, I know everybody in this party.
So I
had both of them open side by side.
I know this because I watched, and then I went immediately back and I watched Losing Color. I watched on their channel too, and it was really fun to watch it from both sides. That's why people put TTV in their name, because there's a lot of survivors I know that if they find out the killer was a TTVer, they go back and watch it from the killer's perspective to see where they fucked up. And I think that's kind of neat. And vice versa, you can do it vice versa too. Jamie, that one time during one of your charity streams, you like 2v1, 3v1'd and played against me. I went back and watched you play the match because I wanted to see. I got you real good with a pebble at one point, and I wanted to see what that looked like on your end because I don't really know. So anyway.
Oh, and did you not hear me say, I bet this is a pebble, and I went anyway?
You did. Anyway, that was fun. Anyway, my point is, people put TTV for that positive, good reason. It helps grow their community. But now we're seeing the bad side of this. They're forgetting to remove the TTV when they go on public test build because they're not necessarily thinking about this. This isn't at the forefront of their mind. And now people are seeing, here's your IP address and you're a TTVer. And now some people are doing a denial of service attack or, you know, multiple packets flinging at the server, and such as this YouTuber did. However,
you need to use your VPNs.
And that's what a lot of people are saying. Also, I want to mention this is very important, too. there is an option in Steam, and in the moment I forget where it is. Darksoccer, maybe you know from seeing this. There is an option in Steam you can configure that says, do not show my IP under any circumstance. It will make it longer for you to get a match, but as far as I'm concerned, hearing about this, who cares? Queue times are long anyway. Take the few extra seconds, hide your IP. That is an option available to you in Steam. I feel like, and I'm not techie enough to know this, I'm going to defer to chat on this, and I'm not, and our Discord. We have a lot of great tech people that tweet us and Discord on it. Couldn't they still packet sniff it out, even if you're hiding your IP?
If it's peer-to-peer, you always have that risk. If you're like someone that's playing in that match or whatever, you could probably sniff out the other person's IP, but if you use a VPN, it's not going to matter.
So I may argue that Steam functionality may actually not be easy. It may not be enough if they really want to get you. But I am not technical-minded to really say yes, no, one way or the other. My real advice is do not put TTV or YT in your name when you're on the test realm. That's my humble opinion.
I don't either. I now have the option to change my name, and I don't want to do it.
Same. I don't want to do it
at
either.
All. And I play on Stadia. Yeah. Which, if you want a protected experience and not have to wait for updates and not have to deal with some of the bullshit, like Steam maintenance, play on Stadia.
Now, there's more to this story. It's not just DDoS. Another streamer who I'm familiar with, but I can't confess I've watched a lot of.
Elix.
There is a lot of people that enjoy it. And please, absolutely.
I've been reading her tweets.
Yeah, if I could, absolutely no disrespect to when I say I don't want, I just, there's so many great people on Twitch and so little time to watch them all. I am familiar with Elix, but I'm not super familiar. But it is one of those things where I'm like, oh, that's a friend of a friend. I know this, this person, right? You know how that sometimes, right? You feel like 2 degrees separated from this. So Elix, who does a lot of streaming and drag, and I think is very well known for being a very adept hag player in the game, which is one of the killers. Hag is the one that draws the traps on the ground. Elix was swatted during PTB while live. And has the receipts to prove it. Showed because I did see this make its way around, because again, I follow people that are in Elix's circles. I saw the retweets of like the Blink security camera footage of Elix walking out the door with their hands up. But I thought, you know what was the really fascinating part of this story? One of the cops recognized Elix from Dead by Daylight streaming and knew what was happening at that moment.
Yeah.
Well, that's nice, but a very much exception to the rule there.
Yeah, it doesn't. Yeah, no. And it's just a really phenomenal like twist in the story, but it certainly does not change. It's shitty. I'm sure it was scary and absolutely unnecessary for Elix, and it's a horrible situation. Here's what I don't understand, and I have to ask my tech people. I'm going to confess, I am ignorant to this. I need to understand this so that it doesn't happen to me. So Loki, help. Chatters, help. How does Elix's IP getting out lead to swatting? I didn't know you could pinpoint somebody's home address with an IP address. How do they do that?
I've done it before. I haven't swatted anybody, I'm saying. But remember when Timmy, his buddy, was doing targeted harassment at me?
Uh-huh.
I found the IP address.
Oh, that was a long time ago. Holy moly. Yeah.
And it was attached to his home address.
How?
And I replied back.
This
was a while ago when it was a lot less security on the web.
Okay, but to be fair, that's not where we're at now. I appreciate the insight, but I still don't understand. Right, but how do we get there?
But I'm saying the possibility is still out there. Hmm. Especially if you've got contacts, if you have other methods of doing it, it's still out there. You can get a home address from an IP if you're not using a VPN.
Unfortunately, I don't know enough about it how that's possible, but
I'm actually installing a VPN.
Oh, yeah, and there's a lot of them out there, so yeah. Pod Culture in chat says you can go through the ISP, but if you're Danny Dickhead, you can't just call Comcast and say, I need to find out who's at this IP address. They're not going to give it to you. So I'm not understanding. I mean, clearly it's possible.
Unless you say, someone from this IP address issued this threat and send that to the police.
I don't think that would work.
It would work, actually.
Here's why I bring it up is that I wonder if Elix wasn't targeted before this public test build stuff and kind of maybe outside of that, and it just kind of happened to time up with that. Again, I want to make very clear, this is a disgusting thing that happened. This swatting business needs to stop. Danny Dickhead and whoever is making these calls, they need to be brought to justice and spanked publicly. And I can mean that in, you know, whatever way you want to interpret that as far as what the punishment ought to be. But was it really because of public test build, or has somebody been working on doing this for a while? Unfortunately, it doesn't. Either way, it's
still
not
disgusting.
Right. It's still disgusting at the end of the day. But I'm not understanding how an IP address leads to, within the same evening, the cops showing up. But here's what I do want to say. And by the way, I do want to shout out Jason over in our chat room did point out the way to do that in Steam and hide the IP address. Thank you. Steam preferences, in-game tab, Steam networking set to never if you're paranoid in a rightly minded way. You can also do friends only and always. He points out default is an option, whatever that means. So
I think default is always.
Yeah, that's kind of where I'm at too. Default is probably
I've had
always.
Mine set for friends only for a while.
That's
again,
I
don't play
fine.
Dead by Daylight on Steam.
True. Yeah, you know what? Actually, Dark Soccer, you probably don't need a VPN. You're playing through Stadia.
Oh, that's true.
You can't do test build through Stadia, though. You're going to have to
Exactly.
You're going to have to. Okay. You can't do test build.
But I do play other things. And I do play a few things on Steam still. And I play other MMOs. Mm. And so I want to have a VPN for specific purposes. I want to have the option of using it.
So I'm reading this story about the whole thing, and there's a passage in it. I'm looking at this story was reported everywhere. I did a search on Google News, and this article at GameRant.com came up about this whole thing. And there's a sentence in here I want to address. A paragraph. Tech-savvy individuals who may have dealt with such cyberware vulnerabilities before suggest a VPN, which allows for encrypted private networking as a default line of defense. Okay, yep. It is currently unclear why Dead by Daylight streamers are being targeted specifically, though it has ensued rampantly in the past week across a seemingly indiscriminate number of streamers, so perhaps it is a security breach that has been left vulnerable through the game itself. I'd like to address that sentence. It is currently unclear why Dead by Daylight streamers are being targeted specifically. I'd like to propose an answer, and it's not what you want to hear. Dark Sakura, I bet our answers are the exact same. Why are Dead by Daylight streamers being targeted?
They are targeting anyone with the LGBTQIA tag, or people of color, or gender variant.
Because it is, they are targeting Dead by Daylight streamers. Because Dead by Daylight is extremely popular amongst all of those minority groups.
It's the unfortunate truth.
So, Game Rant.
No one wants to admit it.
I think you should update your article. I know. No one wants to say this out loud, but I think we have to. So, Game Rant, I think you should say it too. This is why Dead by Daylight streamers are being targeted. This is why Elix, a drag performer, was likely targeted well before the public test build stuff.
And I mean, I know it's a big elephant in the room, right?
Yep.
It's a big elephant. Yep. But you're not going to get it out of the room until you recognize that it's there and haul it out, right?
And if that Kill It With Fire game taught us anything, you need to find that spider, move the couch, shine a light on it, and then spray it with fire. And that's the only way we're going to be able to do it.
Spiders eat mosquitoes, Rob. They deserve to live.
They're fake spiders. I love that here we are talking about a game, Dead by Daylight, where on a daily basis, you're in there murdering people horrifically. And you're like, but spiders.
Well, spiders, people are terrible. Spiders are awesome. Unless they're funnel webs, and then get them far away from me.
They'll get one of this. They'll just have a spider as one of the killers here pretty soon. And
oh, I can't wait.
Now, I know I've talked a lot about this story, but it's a lot going on here, and obviously this is a community I've spent a lot of time with. Behavior Interactive, who are the developers of the game, it's called out that they're not really – they haven't really tweeted about it. They haven't said anything about it. They're not really, quote-unquote, doing anything about this. I have to admit, like, look, there's a lot of things we could ask Behavior about and how they run their business. What do you want them to do?
What are they – the only thing that they can do is change their PTB streaming.
To server. They could.
Like, make it server instead of peer-to-peer. And adding it to server then means that it opens up PTB for people on console and streaming services.
Yeah. But, like, what otherwise do you want them to do? Do you want them to send a tweet saying, don't swap people? Like, why should companies have to tweet out, be a decent fucking human being? Like, we don't have that same expectation for Xbox to tweet out, hey, don't be an asshole on
be
Xbox
Live. Be less of
Live.
A dick, s'il vous plaît.
And you know, right? I have a catchy catchphrase.
Oh boy.
For their public campaign. It's just,
oh boy.
SWAT, how about not?
I don't want to laugh because it's not a laughing matter. So
that was pretty funny.
So screw you for that joke.
It's called gallows humor. It's allowed.
I get it. Laughing at funerals and all that stuff. Sometimes it's the only thing you know how to do. I mean, sure, Behavior should probably say, hey, warning, you might want to take these precautions when playing on the public test build. We want to remind our audience when you play on the PTB, these things happen. I guess I could see Behavior kind of doing that, but I think y'all that are tweeting in all caps at them are not making your message clear. You just want you want Behavior to say something. What do you want them to say?
Well,
guess what? All gamers need to hear it. All people need to hear it. Don't be a shit.
And people are also trying to bring Twitch in on this because it is predominantly streamers being targeted. But the thing is that in this particular case, Twitch is actually fairly innocent.
I don't know how they can control their viewers necessarily. I mean, you can't.
Well, they're comparing it to the hate raids. This is
the
solely having to do with the Dead by Daylight PTB.
The person we need to make a statement on this is your local Congress representative. And guess what? Most of them aren't going to give a fuck because they're going to go, oh, that's a Gen Z thing. Well, Gen X here to tell you, number one, we need more representation of different generations within Congress and making these types of decisions for this reason. This is one of the many reasons why, no matter whether you're liberal, conservative, somewhere in between, this is why Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez was extremely extremely popular when she went to Twitch and did her stream with the other, you know, representatives that she did that with and so forth. Because she was speaking a language a lot of people wish their politicians would speak. She was addressing people in a way that, you know, there's many, many, many people here on Twitch. So anyway, my point with this is we need our Congress people to understand that this is an issue. And I do see, and it is important to say, SG100 Matt in chat says, swatting is already a federal crime, yet these pieces of trash continue to do it. They're so full of themselves that they can get away with it. While they eventually get caught, a lot of damage is already done by that time. That is why parents of minors need to be held responsible in these circumstances.
Exactly.
That is the federal legislation that ought to be out there for sure. Parents of minors who are committing these offenses need to be held responsible. And I know politically that's not going to land with all of you. And I'll just smile and nod and say, then how do we end this? That's not the only step we need to take. The offenses for this, you know, need to go higher. The way to track these sorts of reports needs to be higher.
I'm going to say that parents and children doing this should both be sent to jail.
If somebody with a 4-digit internet number playing Dead by Daylight can be tracked to their address, why can't someone phoning in or interneting in a report? The government's technology needs to catch the fuck up. And that's the other thing that needs to happen. That's why the Congress people have to get involved.
They can't just call in all these fake SWATs from anonymous numbers.
That's it. SG100 Matt saying, our internet crime response networks are still playing catch up a lot of the time. And that's the problem. We need to invest in that. Okay, I've talked a lot about that. Anyhow, there's more gaming news to get into, so I'm going to kick it over to the next story. Dark Sakura.
So, Quantic Dream is a company that, well, I may not have been fans of some of their practices, but I fucking love Detroit Become Human. Mm-hmm. Like, I'm actually rewatching the whole good playthrough again from a PS5 recording. but there is a big rumor with quite a bit of evidence behind it that they are working on a Star Wars High Republic era game with the name Eclipse. They're kind of going to call it Star Wars Eclipse. And then it was corroborated by some pretty reliable industry insiders. And also there is evidence that, you know, now they've finished, Quantic Dream has finished their contract with Sony. They're signing with Disney for projects, which would make it absolutely right that they do a Star Wars game. But I mean, the theory is that it is going to be a lot more action oriented than just the quick time eventy control every last little thing somebody does game like Heavy Rain or Beyond Two Souls or Detroit. It's definitely going to be more of an action game, and they're also talking about there being open world and multiplayer elements to it. But while a lot has been peripherally corroborated, I'm still not going to be too behind it until I see more evidence. But it does, I mean, the people on the inside, the people in the know are saying all evidence points to yes on their Magic 8 Ball. So.
So it's one of those rumors with a lot of fire around it right now. So yeah, I got a text message from one of my friends super into Star Wars that was like, why didn't you tell me about this? And I was like, I literally didn't know until today when I was looking at the notes for this week's show. And it's still in a rumor status, really. So
yeah, well, in High Republic games, I mean, there were all of those books, you know, but I think all of the books were rendered like alternate universe now or no longer official canon. So maybe this is going to be part of a way that they can write what their official canon is going to be for this. I don't know.
Mm-hmm. E3 VL. I was just going to say,
given the quality of their other titles for the technology it was released on, I would have really high hopes for how this game turns out.
Is it all going to be about like Senate debates? Because that would be amazing.
They said this is an action-oriented game. There's not much action
in
the Senate.
There's lots of action in Senate debates. that was the best part of the original trilogy.
Unless someone brings out a lightsaber and takes offense at the senator from Tatooine. I don't know.
We're going to have like trade agreements and stuff like that. I can't wait.
I'm filing this report on you.
There was a comment in chat by E3VL, and it wasn't about Star Wars directly, but it was, you know, because Disney, Marvel, and all that got brought up. E3VL did bring up the current Guardians of the Galaxy has a good story. Yeah, you know, I have to say, I haven't played that game myself yet, but considering a few people were kind of apprehensive about that after, like, Avengers and some of the other, like, it turns out that game is landing really well with a lot of people, and I gotta say I'm interested in it in a way and I've never seen the movies, and that's probably why it kind of has been under my radar. But I did the ride at Disneyland finally, so at least there's that. So I understand that part. I'm curious about the game. I have to say I want to check it out. It sounds kind of up my alley, so we'll see. It's $60, and I'm like, ugh, $60. And there's a Final Fantasy 14 expansion out in 2 weeks. It's going to take all my time.
I already paid for mine.
By the way, I forgot to mention during my game of week, but I need to say, every job, every class, max level in Final Fantasy 14 as of Wednesday or Thursday night. I did it. We did it. So now I'm out of things to do in that game. No, I'm working on some of the mounts I still don't have. There's a lot of like grindy sorts of things like Ishgard crafting. I'm missing one of the mounts and tanking a bunch of dungeons and so on. So there is still that. Oh, yeah, that's true. Bobby Blackwolf reminds me I never did finish Yakuza. Oh, yeah, that is a thing. That is a thing I should finish. And then there's going to be more inspiration for games I should finish as we get into the next few weeks and award season, right, Logie?
Exactly. So we have the Game Awards coming December 9th, which is about the same time that they have it every year. Mm-hmm. This year, they're saying that they're going to show off 40 new games, or 40 games at least. I don't know if they're all brand new. And one of the promises, because it's been brought up recently, different stories about it, but no game supporting or selling NFTs will be featured in the presentation, because there's been a lot of drama about different companies supporting NFTs.
More on that coming up.
Yeah. I was going to say, one of those being EA, which I trust them fully with NFTs. There's no way they're going to exploit that. So, yeah, it's good to see that they're taking that stance. Honestly, though, that's a really small list of games to exclude from it, but cool. I'm excited. Are we going to see another No Man's Sky trailer? That's what I really want to know.
Actually, yes. I would be super into it. It would be about the – because the expedition that's I was really trying to beat the current expedition, but I'm on – like, I have to get the fucking whispering eggs. I have to get, like, 16 of them, and it's such a pain in the ass. And like, I think I'm not going to finish because I'm almost out of time. The time is up in, like, a week. So it is very possible they could launch another expedition and a patch around Game Awards. You know, sometimes they give it a few weeks between them. They don't do them back to back. So
they should sell some DLC for that game.
Careful what you ask for.
Because honestly, like, with all the content that they put in for free already, it's like,
I would buy DLC in a heartbeat. I've put more hours into that game than I think many of you realize. So
I have not put enough hours in that game.
Let's see. SGO and Hunter Matt says, can't imagine Forza Horizon 5 will be nominated for this year's Game Awards. I hope you meant to say won't be nominated. It's got to be there. And then SGO and Hunter Matt says, waiting for it to run the table in Game Awards 2022. And Bobby Blackwolf is pointing out that the Game Awards is on a Thursday night at 8 o'clock Eastern. I mentioned that in case we want to co-stream. Okay, so Loki, you might remember when we brought this up a couple weeks ago, I said, hey, you and I should go down to L.A. What do you think? I don't know if you're still keen on that idea or what, but here's the thing. I talked to Alan, and I said, because something about this came up, and I said, Alan, the Game Awards are LA. I said, what would you think about going down there? Like, we drive down Thursday, go to the Game Awards, and then, like, just kind of fuck around in LA the rest of the weekend. And he said, yeah, that would be fun. I'd be curious what the Game Awards are like in person. Let's go. So, I need to figure out how to get tickets. I think they just sell them. But there's a chance I'm going to go. I'm not going to confirm it until I can get that, because I have to make sure my day job commitments are taken care of, because we are talking about 2 days off of work. And I already missed a day this week because of the booster shot and all that stuff. So which, if you're eligible and meet the criteria, you should consider it. But it made me sick. So just plan on it. I think we might go. And that's what I really want to do. Oh, no. Oh, Bobby says they're not selling public tickets this year. You got to be kidding me. No, there went that idea. All right. We're still going to try to figure it out. I still want to see if we can go. Of course, the 1 year I'm able to go, they decide they're not going to sell tickets. Man, it might be, I'm willing to cut them a break. It might be because of COVID and all that stuff. They have to, trust that.
Probably a little bit.
They might be doing vaccine checks and stuff. I'm triple vaxxed, okay? Let's do this. I'll wear a mask indoors. I don't care. All right. Anyway. All right. Well, I'm putting that out into the universe. I'd like to go. My husband is supportive of this effort. Let's do it. I want to go. All right. Anyhow, moving on. Let's get to our next story. Oh, wait. I'm sorry. Is there anything else you wanted to say about Game Awards?
No, that's it. It's just basically the announcement of that it's coming. So I'm looking forward to it. It's a good presentation every year.
All right. Let's talk about this. I'm going to bring up this story, which is a huge rumor. I've been tagged in it a lot. Because I talk about this game a lot on OLR, so I get it. Mm-hmm. It's the rumor going around about 1 versus 100 potentially coming back to the Xbox. Of course, we all know this was a big game show. It was so cool because it was actually live. It was originally a game show on NBC, and right around it was hosted by Bob Saget, right? Which was kind of a funny thing.
Wasn't it?
Wasn't it Bob Saget that hosted it?
I don't know if it was.
Somebody tell me if I'm wrong on that. Anyway, so they did a version on Xbox Live at the same time, and it's basically trivia questions, and it's one person answering the questions, and they're going up against 100 people. They slowly get eliminated as they get things wrong and all that stuff, and then you could win Microsoft points. There's an actual host and all this stuff. So here's the thing. Now, this is coming from a podcast journalist type of thing, but this is somebody who's been in the industry a while, and a lot of people know this name, Jeff Grubb from Giant Bomb. I think a lot of you listen to that show, and this is where this was talked about, because Altspace VR is part of like the Microsoft Mixed Reality and like their relaunch of Teams and all this stuff. They're looking at doing something in relation to that with one versus 100. So according to him, one versus 100 is coming back. They are definitely making that game. And it seems like it's coming from the Altspace VR team. They're spearheading the project and all of the avatars we saw in the Microsoft team things last week. They're going to use those avatars and bring that stuff in. So now, of course, it's a rumor. It's a journalist saying this on podcast. But here's the thing. He's putting a lot of like that. Those words say a lot. They are definitely making that game. He's wagering a lot by saying that. So he has some type of knowledge that something's going on. Here's the thing that could happen. Will the game release? Or will it get canceled? Or they'll decide to shelve it for whatever other reason. That could still happen. 100%. One versus 100%. But we'll just hope that, you know, we'll hope it works out. You know, but there could be a lot of challenges with the networking and all that stuff. And so forth. So we'll see what comes of it, but certainly my hopes are very high. I wonder if that also means that, like, oh, it's going to be built into like a PC version. It doesn't like nothing about what he's saying means Xbox Series X. Although I think Microsoft would be fools to not have it there. So, but we are jumping a little bit to conclusions. If you want to revive the tea leaves further, or I'm sorry, you want to read the tea leaves further, Phil Spencer, head of the Xbox, has dropped hints before. This was during an official FanFest live stream, October 2020. It was going to be going against a website quiz, and the trivia game did not take place. Phil Spencer said, "I just want to say, when our teams are trying to do new things that we've never done before, I want to be 100% behind those things. Sometimes they'll turn out amazing. Sometimes they'll be good learning experiences for us. But for all the fans who've been with us, we're going to make it good with you guys. We don't know exactly what it is yet, so thanks for hanging with us during this and our little experiment. We'll learn. Maybe we should even be building our own trivia game, like from our past, that allows people to play a trivia game more often. Maybe that could happen." So this isn't the first time he's hinted. He also said in 2019 specifically that one versus 100 is something that they would like to bring back. As far as I'm concerned, all the stars are aligned. And this is in development. It's just a matter of, like I said before, just because it's in development doesn't mean it gets released. A lot happens between now and then.
As we've seen, Niantic.
Yes. Bobby Blackwolf in chat says, "This isn't the same as Microsoft promising you something. Microsoft isn't messing with you." I'm gonna actually, because you tagged me with this on Twitter, and 140 characters, 280 whatever, isn't enough to really explain this. So I sassed you back with a GIF. This is why I tagged Microsoft in the tweet. Yes, they are playing with my emotions every day since they canceled it. They could bring that game back anytime they want to, assuming they can get the licensing deals and all that stuff. But the concept of a large live game show, even if it's not one versus 100 itself, and I've said this on the show before, I would like to see come back a live show of sorts. So Microsoft continuing to not do that is what's playing with my emotions. And yeah, I tagged him in the tweet because I wanted to show support. This shit needs to happen. I'm sure no one cares. No one's going to read it. No one's going to see. But I have a feeling a lot of people are tagging Microsoft right now in that. What's going on? So, all right. Anyway, let's move on and talk about other Xbox stuff, which I think is Darksakura.
Yep. So some of the older 360 games with many Bethesda titles are going to be updated for the Xbox 20th anniversary livestream. Among those games are Fallout 3, Fallout New Vegas, Elder Scrolls 4 Oblivion, Fable Anniversary, Dead Space, Dead Space 3, Dragon Age Origins, Dragon Age 2, and Fable 3. They've all got updates. We're just not sure what they are. And it's going to be a pretty big event. It's supposed to happen on, well, tomorrow for us, November 15th, 2021, exactly 20 years after the launch of the Xbox, starting at 10 a.m. Pacific time, 5 p.m. GMT. There are also some rumors about them doing an early release for Halo Infinite's free-to-play multiplayer. A few other surprises that they have. That, of course, it's not a surprise if we tell you kind of things. So, but apparently it does look like there has been some kind of update for Halo Infinite's store page that says the game will be released on December 8th.
Hmm.
There you go.
All right. I'd be very curious about the classic. I'm not like, what else can they do for the backwards compatible titles unless they went back and, you know, did some remasters and, you know, because some of them, they like Final Fantasy 13, I've been playing on Xbox thanks to Game Pass. And, you know, it's got nicer. It looks a lot better. You know, it looks the movies obviously are that better quality and so on. Like the game just looks a lot better than it did when I first played it. So I'm curious what other stuff they might be doing to old classic games. I'd also, y'all know I'd still love to see the old DDRs be backwards compatible, but I'm sure they're going to say music licensing is what's stopping that, even though I just want to put my disc into this drive and have it rip. But it's whatever, fine, whatever. I guess because technically you kind of have to download some of these things, it probably gets into messy legal territory. But I'd be curious to see what else they might bring up with the classic updates. So we'll see. All right. So back to a topic we were talking about a little bit earlier, right, Loki? You're muted, Loki.
Sorry, kids were being loud in the background. So going back to NFTs, as I mentioned, EA was one of the companies that was talking about getting into the NFT space. Well, apparently Square Enix is another company that's looking to get into that space as well, saying that NFTs have high affinity with our assets. Proof of concept phase is over. This means that they're going to transition to full commercialization stage. So they're going to try to sell it to make some money. I don't know. Most of the NFTs I see out there, like most of the news stories and headlines I see, they're just talking about the scams and all the rug pulls that are out there. I just don't know if this is really necessary unless we're talking about like we're going to allow you to resell our digital games or something like that.
I don't like I still, with all this talk and NFT being a buzzword and the whole like investors are going to jump on anything that has the word NFT and all this, I still have yet to understand, like, what is the fucking point? Why would a video game use an NFT? Can somebody explain that to me like I'm five? Why would it? I understand the concept of like the whole like you own this thing like a digital receipt. Why would that work in a video game? How is that different from DLC? You bought a thing that says you own this digitally.
Well, here's the thing, too.
What does the NFT do to that?
Kind of funny because, you know, if you look at all the, you know, end user license agreements out there where basically anything that you do purchase nowadays, you don't really own. You just own a license to it. And now they're like, oh, but wait, hold on. Now we want you to actually own something. It's like, well, why can't I just own the digital game that you sold me in the first place? You know, it's really dumb. But I don't really see a point to it aside from it's a buzzword, you know, that people are kind of looking for anything about and it just gets exposure and people have found ways to make money off of things that really shouldn't be probably worth that much. Like, you know, JPEGs of small little pieces of artwork, like was it Taco Bell made some stuff and they were selling NFTs and it sold for quite a bit of money, a lot more, I'm sure, than that was actually put into it. I just think they see money. A lot of these companies are really centered on the money. And unfortunately, Square Enix had some issues with certain games that they put out. Like, was it the Marvel Avengers game where, you know, they basically built the game around monetization through, you know, XP boosts and stuff like that, even though they claim, oh, we're going to walk it back and stuff like that. I don't know. It's just these shady practices that they see opportunities for revenue. And that's really the only driving matter here. I don't think they're going to use them in any sort of meaningful way.
Okay, looking at chat, some people trying to help break it down for me, because I am with SSJ100 Matt. Trying to understand NFTs makes my brain feel like I'm 80. I just want to be left alone in my chair so I can nap and watch Judge Wapner. Yes, very that. That is exactly where I'm coming from. All right, so comments. Bobby Blackwell says, because you could resell it outside of the game's company's involvement, that's why they want the NFT. Questbuster says, so as a devil's advocate, when a rare weapon drops from a mob in an MMO, it can be distinctly tied to you with an NFT, giving it an additional level of value. Okay, what I'm not understanding, I could today, if a rare weapon drops for me in a game, if I really want to, I could go onto a forum and say, hey, PayPal me $5. I'll trade you this weapon in game. I can do that.
Yeah, but this is outside of that, though. So this is like I can literally, you know, hand you the keys to this weapon and then you can do that. It does have like, if you want to monetize something in that way, it does have
That's not different.
I understand what you're saying, but this actually, I think, puts gaming companies in worse situations because they've run afoul of different gambling laws by having loot boxes and stuff, but then they've made the argument that you can't make any money outside of these games. Like, you know, those FIFA money that you have or whatever, you can't turn that into real money. Well, now with this, you could turn something into real money. And so now they're going to run afoul of those laws again. Like, it's not a good idea, but whatever, they're going to do it.
Bobby explaining to my people's court love and ass saying NFTs use the blockchain. So you are anonymous. That's the difference. PayPal is trackable. Crypto is not. Crypto is free from the influence of big banks. PayPal is not, you know. If you don't want a monetary transaction to be tracked, that sounds shady to me. Why are video game companies wanting to get into shady things? Why or any company, any Taco Bell or anybody? Like, I don't know. I mean, I guess my brain just can't understand this because I'm like somebody somewhere had to have built the blockchain, right? Like somebody, like I know you say it's all these computers together.
Well, with NFT accounts, you can actually, a lot of times you can, you know, follow, like, because they'll have these profiles where they display their NFTs and you can track it back. You know, that's why there is a blockchain, so you can see who it is. But sometimes it may be, you know, may not know who actually owns that account. It's just that, you know, there's an account that has this purchase or that made that purchase.
So the whole reason these video game companies want to do this is so that people can do transactions untracked is what I'm and I also understand it is a buzzword right now. They're using this word because it makes everybody's ears perk up when in fact it sounds like there's a lot of us out there that are like, stop glamorizing this. Your ears should not be perking up. You should be looking the other way when you hear this. That's
how about you make
I think there's a lot of people that are saying this.
It's like, how about they focus on actually finishing a game properly instead of, you know, getting NFTs involved?
Questbuster says, blockchain cash is a real thing too. Governments are looking into digitizing their currency using the same technology. China is already piloting a program for their own crypto. EU is looking at it, and the Fed is also interested to see what it can do. Wow. And Jason simply breaks it down. The whole reason people sell is for money. Yeah. Everything else, anonymity, regulation, etc., is only incidentally extra. The reason is thing has value to be extracted. Well, can't we as people stand up and say NFT has no value? Aren't we able to do that?
You can, and that happens sometimes. Like, people will buy into, like, some stupid thing because they think it's going to be worth a lot. And then they find out, oh, I guess no one really wants to buy that. And then it's worth nothing. It's all speculative. It's whatever you value assign it. But people are, they're so hyped with this, like, what's the next big thing going to be? You know, it was Bitcoin and Dogecoin, and they're like, what's it going to be? And so everybody's getting like way too hyped about every single new thing that's coming out. And that's the thing, is they throw a lot of money into it, hoping that's going to go up in value. And maybe it does, but a lot of the times it's normally the person that creates the NFT or puts together the cryptocurrency, and then they make all the money and then leave with all the money. And then you're sitting there with something useless.
Why did they do that instead of just giving me all the money? That'd be easy.
Because they want all the money.
No, I want it. It's mine.
Well, they're not going to give it to you.
Continuing on with the NFT stuff that I still don't understand, the CEO of Discord had to backtrack a little bit. Looks like a screenshot kind of got out there. I think he actually tweeted it out. It wasn't like leaked or anything. He actually tweeted it. Jason Citron, who is the founder and lead of Discord, tweeted a mock-up on earlier this week of a Discord interface showing crypto products like MetaMask, Wallet Connect, and Ethereum integrated within the Discord app, also integrated with like YouTube, Twitch, and all that stuff. Needless to say, Discord fans threw a shit fit, I think is the technical term for it, and it was quickly retracted, basically. So yeah, I love this week. Probably nothing with a tweet, a screenshot of that whole mock-up. Although, to be fair, maybe that's all it was. It was a mock-up. It was something to, you know, what if we wanted to get into this? What if we wanted to manage this stuff? What might that look like? It may have been simply a, how about this sort of thing? But then, boy,
the
oh boy,
perception of it. Yeah.
Boy, oh boy, that didn't do well. Oh, and I think there was like a survey that Discord put out that had NFT in it as well. So people connected the two together. Anyway, in a follow-up tweet, Citron said, "Thanks for all the perspectives. We have no current plans to ship this internal concept. For now, we focused on protecting users from spam, scams, and fraud. Web3 has lots of good, but also lots of problems we need to work through at our scale. More soon." In a statement in an interview with TechCrunch, he continued, "We appreciate all the perspectives we've been hearing in response to the internal concept you may have seen in a tweet, and we want to clarify, yeah, from you. We have no plans to ship it at this time. We're excited about the potential for Web3 technology and the positive way these communities are coming together on Discord, especially those organized around environmentally friendly, creator-focused projects. However, we also recognize there are some problems we need to work through. For now, we're focused on protecting users from spams, scams, and fraud." So, did it look to you, again, I don't understand, did it look to you like Discord wanted to be like a central hub, a key ring, a place to store these NFTs, a place to store like a wallet for your Ethereum and all this stuff? Is that what Discord was kind of looking to be? Was kind of like what I guess PayPal does for some of that stuff.
Maybe, but that's not a really good put. I don't know if I'd trust them necessarily with all that.
Okay, y'all just told me the whole point was to decentralize and have all this stuff off the record.
Well, you
so why would I give it to Discord?
Exactly, it links it to yourself. But then on top of that, you know, they've had issues with people putting malware into like. And sending out messages to people and saying, "Hey, come test my game," and stuff like that, and exploiting their accounts. And basically, they're able to delete their accounts or have access to it. So, yeah, that's where I want all my crypto to be, is in a, you know, easily exploitable account. Awesome.
NFTs will not have value until sex workers start accepting them. That is when you know something has actual value, is when the world's oldest profession will start accepting it. So until that time, if a sex worker doesn't accept NFT in trade, they don't have the value you think it does.
That's like saying though, like, "Hey, I've got this fine painting here. What can I get for that?" I mean, like, just because they don't accept it doesn't mean doesn't have value. Now that said though,
take to a pawn shop. Can you take NFT to a pawn shop?
You can. You can take it. You can take it and sell it, and then you get Ethereum, and then you can use that to pay for stuff. But yeah, it's typically people don't go, "Hey, I've got this JPEG of a weird monkey. What can I get for that?"
Bobby says, "I honestly think Discord was just wanting to accept crypto, and there's I." can probably see that. They wanted to link the wallet in the same way they linked to your credit card for your Nitro payments, or the same way they linked to your PayPal. Interesting. Zen Monkey does point out Pornhub does accept Bitcoin for membership now. Well, that's fabulous. I definitely need to take a trip back to the olden days, because that is where I'm clearly living. So let us go to our next segment and cleanse the palate with this little bumper here.
And now it's time to travel back to a simpler time, where I'll dive into the vault and pull out a classic and tell you about it. It's time for the classic game of the week.
I think a lot of you are going to love tonight's pick. What'd you pick tonight, Dark Sakura?
I picked Mega Man Battle Network, also known as Rockman.exe. It was developed in Capcom for the Game Boy Advance. It is the first title of the Rockman.exe or Mega Man Battle Network games. It was released in Japan as a launch game on March 21st, 2021, and then released later in the year in North America and Europe. It also is on the Wii U Virtual Console, it's a game I personally didn't get too much into, but a lot of people love it, and so I figured I would talk about it. So, it takes place during the 21st century, which we're in, and everyone just lives on the internet. You have these avatars called NetNavi, and you play a kid named Lan Hikari, I guess that's what his name is, and his NetNavi, Megaman.exe or Rockman.exe. And so he's got to solve crimes done by the World 3 organization, WWW, it says. So it is a little bit of a tactical roleplay game where you control Len or the avatar, and you have to you have some battles that go in real time. You have special abilities called battle chips that you fight off different viruses in the cyberspace, and it also has, like, the battle chips are something like these folders, like card decks, that you can use for kind of like simulating a collectible card game, something like that. But anyway, a lot of people are really, really into it. You can also do some other stuff in the game, like some RPG-ish stuff, like, you know, you hang out with NPCs, you can check your email, buy stuff, do net missions, speak to your little avatar there. You can also power up your little avatar guy as he goes along. I mean, when he's out of health, game over, right? The thing about this game is it was actually conceptualized as being a horror game. It was developed by Capcom Production Studio 2 around the success of Pokemon. And then rather than it being a standard action game like they had done with the 3D Mega Man Legends, they wanted to do something like what was happening in the Pokemon game, to have this adventure with it, to add a real world element to Mega Man, to have a way for the player to connect with another player that's connecting with the character. And then they also marketed it along with an anime adaptation, so that, I mean, it's all about money. In the end, you know, it's buy our game, watch our show, we're going to do all this other stuff, buy that too. So when it was first announced in August of 2000, there was a demo of the game that was promoted at Nintendo Space World. It was only available on two of the 140 playable consoles. They showed it off at Tokyo Game Show the next month. And the beta of it had you fight a woodman.exe. And so it had some different stuff going on with it. But the game was fairly well received. It got an 80% on game rankings, 79 out of 100 on Metacritic. Famitsu gave it a 30 of 40, which is good for Famitsu. And they said that it was really an original kind of game playing off of the Mega Man franchise. So there you go. Battle Network Rockman EXE, a.k.a. Mega Man Battle Network.
All right. There's your Classic Game of the Week. You know, I have to admit, I never really got into or really played this series, but I know a lot of people really, really love it. So it's one of those kind of gems that I guess I just unfortunately passed over and never got around to, but would love to someday, especially. And I see in chat, Gigirama S is like, oh, yes, I want a reboot of this. And I think that would be a good way for a lot of people who maybe missed it the first time to get back on board. I guess you never know, right?
You never can tell.
Rama also says the anime is so good, and I trust Rama's opinion on the anime with his own program here.
See, for me, I just still prefer the classic Rockman stuff, you know.
Yeah.
But I know a lot of people who are into it, and I would be remiss if I didn't bring it up, and it did come out 10 years ago.
Yeah, and as much as I would say that too. Like the it's all about the main lines for me. I did love Legends. You know, I was always sad they never did a third one. You know, but that's what it is. Questbuster brings up something we were talking about in a prior week. Like Sega, it was great seeing Capcom break out creative bursts like this that no one expected. So, all right,
yeah.
Great. Never say never about Legends. They get desperate enough for content, they'll make a Legend.
Never say never. That's true. All right, let's travel around the gaming world and check out some other quick headlines, starting with Loki.
Yeah, so this is a game that I kept trying to remember the name of. Like, I've talked about this before. This was on the Brave Venture Musashi demo disc, I believe. And
back in the day.
Yeah, way back in the day. So it is a game called Racing Lagoon, and it came out on the original PlayStation back in 1999. And it's now getting it's now playable in English thanks to fan translations. So it's pretty cool. It's like a racing RPG, kind of like a drift racing RPG type thing. So
I vaguely remember hearing about something like this.
I think they just had, they didn't, I don't remember if they had a playable, actual demo for it, but it was, I think it may have been just a trailer, but I remember seeing that. I was like, oh man, that looks cool. And then it just never came out in the United States. So, oh well.
Neat.
And then, new DDR. It's pretty exciting. So DDR Grand Prix, this was the PC game that we kind of did the test for not that long ago. And it's got a bunch of new songs plus a bunch of older songs as well. It's going to require a subscription service to play it online. And I think they're going to also have a controller as well, but you can play with basically any USB controller that is offered out there. I fully anticipate playing this on my cabinet as soon as the songs get leaked and then put on to Stepmania, which will probably happen very quickly.
Clever.
Especially with all the assets being able to be ripped from a PC game. I mean, it's like that'll be just a matter of time.
It's also funny to kind of just sit back and reflect on how far we've come. You know, in the early days of Orange Lounge Radio, we were talking about the literal Dance Dance Revolution PC game release with its infamous downloadable characters. Mr. Spanky, yeah. That's where that whole character came. They literally released a character called Mr. Spanky, who just looked like, you know, they were dressed up in bondage gear. Somebody else. It was like two bondage, you know, kings and queens that were released together in this whole thing. And now here we are talking about DDRPC again, but it's a subscription service. It's just it's interesting. Not that I'm knocking it. I get it. But yeah. I'd like to see it. Check it out. I feel like I haven't really touched DDR in a while. I'm still waiting for that round one to open up out here. But
well,
you know,
the movie theater. Yeah.
I was just gonna say, Alan. Funny enough, out of the blue today, I saw our pal JD was in town because it turned out the only place he could get a booster shot was up here. Long story.
Oh, wow. Yeah. I missed him.
He was literally like, we took him to the thing and back to the train, basically. So for 2 seconds. Yeah. What was I going to say with all that, though? oh, we brought up the topic of round one because it came up in the car. And Alan looked into it and was like, well, that movie theater opened up on Thursday. And I was like, oh, shit. Okay, so the movie theater in the mall is open now. And the round one stuff is now on the City of Roseville's website. It just, they published a story on like Tuesday, the whole thing, like round one coming soon. So I
think it's next.
I wonder if they're going to try to get it open by Black Friday when there's going to be all that traffic through the mall. I would be, it'd be
nice.
So thrilled.
I think the signs is 22 on there now. So we were just there last weekend.
Oh,
I was
bummer.
Getting a new phone.
You know,
so
and I
think it'll be a while.
I was thinking that probably those machines are, if they hadn't already purchased them and had them in storage over here before the pandemic, those machines are probably on a ship somewhere in the middle of the ocean right now. And that's probably what's holding it back. But we'll see. Let's see. Oh, that's neat. DJ Rom S says, the first opening theme to the Anime Jam Session podcast was from the Rockman EXE Mega Man Battle Network anime. That's really cool.
Cool.
Yeah. All right. Dar Tetsuya said they deleted Holic. You can never delete Holic. Absolutely not. Dar Tetsuya also
blasphemy.
Says, I played the free version of Grand Prix. I'm sorely tempted to subscribe since you get a good chunk of songs, including A20 Plus stuff. Orange Ride also played this week. Didn't subscribe, but they allowed you to play it with tickets. Yes, pay for play. Bringing the arcade experience home, being able to pay just $1. So, neato. All right.
I don't know how I feel about that.
Yeah. All right, Dark Soccer, what do you have for Rapid Fire News?
So if you have a Nintendo Switch, you can watch Twitch on Switch. It is in the eShop and for free, and you can watch your favorite streamers through the Twitch app. So cool. It's... I still prefer to watch on my computer.
Yeah, it's and it's also, in my opinion, not as good as the Xbox or PlayStation experience because you can't have chat and the video up at the same time unless you're using a mobile phone to like have chat, which the app actually encourages you to do. For whatever reason, it can't run those side by side. Bobby had an interesting...
That's ridiculous.
Bobby had a thing on his show tonight where he's like, it's tapping into the video feed directly and just displaying that, like almost like you're watching a YouTube or something. So I don't know. It's very clearly some weird technical limitation of the Switch. But I will say, so I list all these negatives, but the Switch has a very nice screen. I would rather watch on my Switch screen than I would my mobile phone because it's a little bit bigger and it's very nice looking. So there is that. Just be prepared. You can't really see chat unless the streamer is projecting chat on top of their image, which some do, some don't. So, yeah. Anyway.
So lame, though. It's like, oh, use the phone and this app. I mean, I guess if you're doing it on TV or something, that's fine, but...
Which like if I'm is kind of what I do. It's too slow to type
though.
On Xbox. Yeah.
But if it's on the handheld, like if I'm watching a handheld, it's like, well, I'll just watch it on my phone. Thank
yeah,
you.
I'm with Mike Deft and Pod Culture, who are both echoing that the OLED probably makes a great case. I don't even have an OLED, and I think it looks good on the Switch screen. So there is that. Anyway, what else do you have, Dark Takra?
So the publisher for Call of Duty had to put out a change to it because there were torn pages of the Quran scattered in the game, some of them scattered on the ground and with blood on them, which of course angered many Muslims because it is a sacred text and to them the literal word of God, and they called it Islamophobic. So they actually posted from the Call of Duty Middle East account in Arabic, stating that they removed the scenes from the game, apologizing for the offense caused. And, of course, this is a game that came out November 5th. I'll read the translation. The game Call of Duty was designed for all users. The scenes in the game, which were offensive to Muslims, which were shown last week, have now been removed. They should not have been included in the game. We apologize profusely. We are taking all measures to address this issue within the company in order to understand what happened and ensure it does not happen again.
It's like our sex abuse scandals.
As Joe Hunter Matt says, come on, someone missed some common sense there. Yeah, it seems to be a thing that's missing in gaming lately. All right.
Well, I think they've already done their damage, so.
Yep. All righty. Let's travel around the world and check out some upcoming releases. I know we're in the height of November, and I think we got some big stuff this week, right, Logie?
Yeah, we got stuff, that's for sure. So starting things off, we've got, looks like, Grow, the Song of Evertree on PC, Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, and Xbox One. Hextech Mayhem, a League of Legends story on PC and Nintendo Switch. That's a rhythm game. And Sherlock Holmes Chapter 1 on PC, PlayStation 5, and Xbox Series X. Surviving the Aftermath on Nintendo Switch. The Waylanders on PC. Final Fantasy VII, The First Soldier on iOS and Android. We've got Clang 2 on Nintendo Switch, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. Kid Amnesia Exhibition on PC, Mac, and PlayStation 5. Microsoft Flight Simulator Game of the Year Edition on PC and Xbox Series X. Battlefield 2042 on PC, PlayStation 4, PlayStation 5, Xbox One, and Xbox Series X. And, of course, last but not least, we have Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl on Nintendo Switch. And I'm just shocked that they put that in one game and didn't try to sell it as two.
No, it's being sold as two. It's just also in a combo pack.
Oh, never mind.
All right. Traveling to Japan, obviously Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl, those two games are the big release in Japan on the Switch this week. There's not a lot going up against it, but there are a couple alternative games you can check out. On the 18th, there's a game called Illmatic Envelope Swamp and Raidersry Swag. That is a game that's coming out on the Switch. And then there's another game called Knives Out Game Rhythm Pack. And I was like, oh, is it a rhythm game? It certainly doesn't look like it. In fact, when I look at the box art, it kind of looks like it's Squid Game type characters. And I'm like, how did they do that so fucking fast? But it's a Sega published title, which is also interesting. And it's 5 players in a group, 100 players in a battle. You work with teammates to live to the end, trust your teammates, and win together with guns in hand. So it really sounds like, I don't know. It's just interesting that is so fast, but okay. Let's see. Also, that is all on the Switch, but let's not leave out PlayStation 5. PlayStation 5 has its own release of Battlefield 2042 is out in Japan this week. And that is it. Yeah, Farming Simulator to look forward next week, but that is it for the PS5. Let's go over to the UK, Dark Sakura.
On the 16th, we have Surviving the Aftermath for the big three. Angry Alligator for Switch on the 18th. On the 19th, Battlefield 2042 for Xbox, PlayStation, Pokemon Brilliant Diamond and Shining Pearl double pack for Switch, including their individual releases as well. Zenith for the 19th, also on Switch, and also Distrust on Switch. We have Disco Elysium The Final Cut for Xbox and PlayStation. Ark Ultimate Survivor Edition for the same two, again on the 19th. Train Sim World 2 Rush Hour Deluxe Edition. On just PlayStation, we have The Eternal Cylinder. We also have Ark Ultimate Survivor Edition. Didn't I just say that one? Yeah, they repeated it. Never mind. Oh, it looks like it's actually got a lower age limit on it.
Oh,
maybe there's two versions.
Oh, that could be.
And that's going to be it for this week.
All right. Actually, reminds me, I've got to get my copy of Diamond or Pearl preloaded. I haven't decided which one I want to get. I didn't sit down and look at the differences and try to remember, because I don't remember, like, which Pokemon are in which version. So we'll see. All right. Anyhow, we have a few more stories for you guys, and then we'll see if we have any time. Well, yeah, we should have time for at least one call if anyone wants to call us over at our Discord server, which you can continue the conversation throughout the week. It's not just for our live calls. VogNetwork.com. That's VOGNetwork.com/Discord if you want to join. And the green room is where you want to be waiting if you'd like to call in. But we do have a few. So it's going to be about 15, 20 minutes because we still have a few stories to get to first. Mike Def says, I can get you the list. Yeah, I know it's on Silph Road. I'm just lazy. And also, the Knives Out game I mentioned earlier, nothing to do with the movie. Yeah, I had that same kind of like, is this the movie? But why would that be in Japan first? It's nothing to do with the movie. Okay, Loki, I think this is kind of funny.
Yeah, so hey, if you have a lot of money that you want to burn on absolute garbage, Gucci's going to start selling some Xbox Series X controllers, I guess, for $10,000. An actual console. So it's going to be a customized Xbox Series X plus two controllers for $10,000. And they come in matte, I guess the controllers are a matte black with like a red and blue stripe on it. Because if you want to talk about speculative value, there you go. Alternatively, you could also just not do that and buy an Xbox Series X normally and then customize your own controller through the Xbox Design Lab, which has now added 19 new colors and rubberized grips. So you can actually make your own controller, and it costs much less than $10,000, only $70, and 10 more if you want to actually add those rubberized grips. I don't understand people that buy this stuff. I guess people that buy this stuff, you know, $10,000 for them is just pocket change. So why not?
Just drop in the bucket. Those money that are making all that money scalping PS5s will be able to afford the Gucci Xbox.
Yeah, for sure.
Tiger Claw brings up the same thing I thought of, honestly, saying that's funny considering there's that House of Gucci that's coming out. Well, you know, the Gucci company is still very much everywhere in your local mall with people lined up outside it to get in, probably.
Who does Gucci anymore? It's all Hermes.
So
I'm just saying.
There's still Versace, or as I always like to say in my Best Showgirls, Versace, right? Versace, same thing. And they had that whole show about, you know, the really unfortunate killing of the guy who started that whole thing, and like Ricky Martin was in that and all that, right? The it was the American Crime Story or whatever. Is that it? Was that what it? The Versace that was all on TV, and they made a media spectacle out of that. While this company's still running, so it's but it is Tiger Claw. I have to admit, I thought like, is this like a weird ass tie in the movie? But I don't think
I don't know why it would be.
I also don't either, because I think the movie has to do with, like, murder and stuff that I don't know if Gucci necessarily has to be associated with.
What's her face?
Yeah.
But also, I was gonna say something else, but I know a lot of other, though, designer companies like to work with tech companies to do, like, well, and Gucci also worked with Fiat for Gucci Edition Abarth, or however they're pronounced. Because I kind of wanted one. And I mean, Hermes has the deal with Apple for Apple watches, and it's designers do this shit all the time. So anyway,
all right. Sorry. I'm texting Shane because the earlier question that came up about, Pokemon, I would just text Shane. I said, do I get Diamond or Pearl? And he just replied with a he just replied with the picture that shows all the differences between the two. Like he just replied with the picture that Mike Deft was probably about to send me. And so I'm looking at it and I'm like, okay, I think I want Diamond. So I replied to him and I said, I think I'm going to get Diamond, but I really want a Vulpix, which is in Pearl. He says, what makes
That's
Diamond
why I got Pearl before?
Yeah, and he's like, what makes Diamond more appealing? And I'm like, literally everything else. I'm like,
trade for a Vulpix.
I know. Yeah, I can trade for a Vulpix. And I'm like, looking at the rest, I'm like, I prefer Electabuzz to Magmar. I like Scyther versus Pinsir, especially. I like that thing that evolves into Kranidos, I think is the name. I don't really care for the other one on the other side. Seal is cute. I really don't like the Slow Bros, and they're all in the other one. Mawile is cute. And Tyranitar, which is, you know, I love that whole line too. And then it has the dogs versus the bird. Yeah, I'm like, everything in Diamond I kind of like better. So there you go. I guess I'm going to get Diamond. All right. Oh, that's...
I'm just going to go listen to Prince. And if all you right. don't get it, you're a kid.
Yeah. All right, moving on. Let's get into the next story, which is another Twitch story, funny enough, but very different from what we were talking about before. You know, Twitch does a lot, not just with gaming, but there's a lot of music creation and content that's going on there. And Twitch is going to be targeting musicians with a new program. It's called The Collective, and it's going to invite selected musicians. It's an invite-only collective. And from there, you get more information on how do you build communities? How do you earn money through fans on the streaming platform? This was all announced on Twitter by the head of music and VP, who is Tracy P. Chan on Twitter, and talked a little more about it, how they're planning to support and so forth. What I think is interesting about this is that they actually have partners with Rolling Stone and Amazon Music, and those types of partnerships can be huge in getting discovered, I'm sure, especially Rolling Stone. So once you're a musician, you graduate from this program, you get eligible for prioritized discovery, promotion, and activations from Twitch. So that's interesting. I'll be curious if any musician friends, I'm sure there's stuff in there that has to be kept secret, which is why they're not really detailing what really is in the collective. So it'll be interesting to see friends that I know that are getting involved with that and what that all entails and how that goes. But, you know, it's just very telling of the digital path forward our society is taking. So, all right. Interesting. Bonds 006 in chat. I'm just seeing this about the Gucci thing. I have done internships for House of Gucci for 8 months. They are all right. I got a $100 belt as a present. Love it. If I paid $100 for a fucking belt, I'd love it too. Alan has always told me he wants a Burberry coat. And you know, do you know how much those fucking coats are from Burberry? I would have to mortgage someone's house to pay for, you know, they're not cheap. It's yeah. So, or at least I said, maybe I'll get you a scarf. That's a couple $100 that I could save up the money and get you one of those. But that's like your big Christmas present for the year. It's a scarf. So we'll see. All right. I was going to go to our next story, but it looks like Dark Sakura
stepped away.
Oh, hi. All right. Then Dark
I just
Sakura.
Went to go put my bowl in the sink.
Oh, no worries. Then why don't we go to our next story if you're ready?
All right. So I'm sure people remember that when Mass Effect Legendary Edition came out, they couldn't do the Pinnacle DLC, the Pinnacle Station DLC, because the code was gone. In fact, when they got the information, the backups from Demiurge, who did the DLC for them, it was super corrupted. Vital links were missing. They couldn't do anything with it. But thanks to mods, dun dun dun, the DLC is back. It is updated graphically with difficulty adjusted, extra music and sound effects. And the old kind of 2009-ishness polished out of it. They actually had a blog post for how they managed to get it done. And I'm absolutely, absolutely impressed that they could do it. I mean, they even put in like some of their some of the coding differences were how they rebuilt those particular pathways to get it done. I thought it was absolutely a labor of love, and I thought it was pretty good. You can actually get it from Nexus Mods, and I will post the link in chat. Everyone else is just going to have to go look for it, but there you go. You can now play Pinnacle Station again.
Here we go again with the modders saving the day. Although, you know, again,
now
the reason...
Let's DMCA strike them now as a thanks.
the reason why BioWare admitted it or omitted it in the first place, they didn't do it for any sort of greedy or lazy reason. I get it. They didn't have the source code. You know, it was a different issue. But it's fascinating that, again, modders just recreated it touch for touch. So there you go.
It's all for love.
Yep, sure is. All right, moving on. Loki.
Yep. So Battlefield 2042, which is one of the games that's coming out this week, it's having some issues with the early access. May remember, EA has this wonderful program to where you can actually play EA games early, and you pay a premium for that. And, well, it is jank right now. I've seen reviews talking about the game saying that, you know, there's all sorts of frame rate issues depending on the maps that you're on, which is weird. It just plays weird sometimes. So they're saying that right now that even Xbox consoles are being crashed by this game, including the Series X, just stops working after a while and it'll reset itself. So that's not good. Hopefully it's something that they're going to address. Also, in order to actually be able to play this early access, you had to get one of those bundles as well. So it's, you know, upwards of $120 that you paid to play this game early. You paid to be a beta tester, so enjoy.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate. But this is a state that a lot of these games come out nowadays. EA's really bad at this.
It's just another... They just add it to the list. Games that shouldn't have come out yet.
Pre-order games.
Boy, oh boy. All right, well, trying to end on a positive note with a game from a smaller studio that is about cats. How could I not end with a cat story tonight, right? Let's make ourselves feel better after all of these not great, you know, broken game releases. Let's talk about Double Dagger Studio in Seattle and their upcoming game, Little Kitty Big City. And it's going to be coming out in 2022. It's consoles and PC, although they did not say which consoles. Overview is, you are a little kitty lost in the big city. Will you find your way home, or are you having too much fun along the way? Little Kitty Big City is a game where you play a curious little kitty with a big personality on an adventure to find your way back home. Explore the city, make new friends, wear delightful hats. I always love it when that's a selling point for a game. And leave more than a little chaos in your wake. After all, isn't that what cats can do best? And they released a trailer for it, which I'm sorry, I didn't render in time to actually show on stream tonight. But it just, it looks somewhere around like the Untitled Goose Game a little bit, but with the cat just kind of walking around and getting into trouble and talking to dogs and wearing hats and climbing up things and smashing pots and doing all the things that you would expect cats to do. So cool. I'm all about this. Yeah, and Mike Deft made the same conclusion. It's Goose Game, but with a cat. Titled Cat Game.
I like it.
ZenMonkey11 says, yeah, I'd play the shit out of that cat game. Sounds great. Yes, Questbuster says, cat with hat. Cat in the hat, I guess. All right, there you go. Little Kitty Big City. Looking forward to that in 2022 and not much else at this point. All right. Let's go to the listener roundtable with your emails, your Discord calls over at vognetwork.com/discord. And any chat questions you guys have. If you have any questions for us in chat, go ahead and put them in there. First, we'll take a trip to the mailbag. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com. And we'll see if we have any emails for the read-ins tonight. Darsakura, who is muted and frantically looking for the button.
All right.
There we go.
I wasn't frantic on anything.
Well, I have to fill time with something. All right, go ahead.
Hello, LR. I just wanted to formally invite the awesome audience of OLR to my DDR charity stream next Saturday, November 21st at 1 p.m. Eastern. I'll be attempting to clear max 342 times, with at least 21 of those being on expert difficulty. It's the Ohio DDR Max 300 Birthday Challenge. I got through it last year, and I don't intend to lose this time either. But that's not all. My buddy Dan Hood, who I've been playing and practicing with over the last few years, will also be attempting the challenge along with me. He's got to get through it 30 times, but is bursting with confidence and ready to go. It'll be a good 4 hours of stomping, reminiscing about the old days of DDR and ITG and general shenanigans. We're doing this to benefit Feeding America. Hunger remains a major problem across our nation, affecting millions of Americans. If you're financially able to do so, please help us raise some money for a great cause. We'd really appreciate your support. And if you want to go to my event page, I've made it really easy. You just go to tinyurl.com/2021max300 and you're there. Thanks so much for checking us out. We'll probably be using Stepmania for this, but just yesterday I learned about Dance Dance Revolution Grand Prix, the brand new just released official home version for Windows. And I think if I can get it set up in time, we'll use that instead. I'm not sure if it may show roll, but if not, here's a bit of info about it. The good news is that there is finally a new home version of DDR for all these. We talked about this, I think, a few weeks ago. Well, even better, it has the same interface.
Just tonight.
Yeah.
Huh?
Loki talked about it earlier, but yeah. Mm.
I could swear, though, we mentioned something about this before.
I'm sure we've mentioned it before.
Yes, the beta test came up before, and now it was the official release. Yeah.
Okay. Even better, it has the same interface on almost the entire song list of current arcade version, minus just a few licenses and covers. That's around 900 songs in total, give or take. And it will work with any dance pad setup. The bad news is that the cost and accessibility are similar to other current Konami PC releases, meaning you need a Japanese account to get it. There are subscription fees, and there are pay-per-play fees on top of that, depending on what modes you want to access. To summarize, you can play without a subscription the equivalent of 110 yen per 3-song set. The songs, features, and options are available are roughly equivalent to what you would get if you walked up to the arcade machine and played it without logging in. But you would lose out on the newest unlockable songs, plus several options and features that are unavailable in the arcade unless you log in, such as the ability to save your scores. If you choose to subscribe for about $15 a month, you get access to those features, but you still have to pay for each game on top of that. However, fully included in the subscription is the additional unlimited play mode that gives you access to everything in the song list up to DDR Supernova 2, and it doesn't cost anything per game to play that, well, apart from the subscription itself. Excuse me. So, in other words, yes, it costs a lot, but you can but it is basically the entire arcade game, and it's 100% legal, so you can stream it without repercussions. And just about all of the music in the game... What?
Oh, I said, wow. Streaming
and just about all of the music...
Yeah, I don't know about that. I would be careful. Just,
And just about all of the music in the game is fully owned by Konami, so copyright strikes are probably unlikely to happen. So for those folks who have great setups at home and are able to afford the steep pricing, it might be worth it to try. If you want to look into it further, ddrcommunity.com has excellent guides. Thanks again for this show and for Signal Boost. I hope that you will be able to join us at 1 p.m. Eastern next Sunday afternoon at tinyurl.com/2021max300. Sweaty hugs, Aaron YYR.
Sweaty hugs, I like that. Yeah, it's going to be 10 a.m. our time. That'll be right around the time I'm getting up.
Probably will still be in bed,
but I'll check it out for sure. Yeah. I have to make a reminder on my calendar or I'll forget, but, best of luck with that. I love that. I like that you're making it a charity event out of that. And good luck with that. So that's great. I would say break a leg, but I feel like for this, I really shouldn't actually say that. So,
Don't say that.
Don't break a leg. All right. If that's it for emails, I will encourage folks to send more. Participate at orangeloungeradio.com is the place to send emails. Let me check the Discord room one more time. Nope, nobody's in there yet. And then in chat, just some folks commenting on the DDR Grand Prix breakdown. Bonds006 saying paywall everywhere, and Orange Right saying Grand Prix is expensive. Yeah. But it is interesting. You're kind of getting an arcade perfect version where essentially, as far as we know, pretty much legally. I mean, we don't know what weird third parties might try to claim, but I think a lot of those songs are done in-house or created by Konami. So he said they carved out the license stuff for the most part.
Well,
so,
I would hope so. Interesting. I'm always wary about that stuff.
Yeah, I understand. I get it. So, but if they're going to be kind of like talking while they're going through it too, that'll help a lot too. So, all right. Jason is suggesting the well wish I could send is don't fall off. All right, there you go. Don't fall off, YYR, with your birthday fundraiser. All right. Well, I think with that, then we'll go ahead and wrap up another edition of OLR. I want to thank you guys for downloading our show this week or listening to us live, however you participated with our show. Thank you, thank you, thank you. Appreciate you guys. Please tell a friend or two about the show. Help us spread the word, because we are the show where every gamer has a voice, but we need the voices here to put out on air. So please tell a friend or two about the show. Spread the word. Get them here in chat. Participate with the show. It would really mean the world. And if you feel so inclined, you'll notice I'm wearing a Vogue branded shirt, and that's available at the shop, voguenetwork.com/shop. If you want to check that out, you don't have to, but if you feel so inclined, appreciate that. A nice social media tweet, a 5-star review where you found this podcast. All of it goes a long way. Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate the support. Let's go around and get folks' final thought. Actually, wait, before I do the final thoughts, let me address this, because I see Tiger Claw in chat says, you know, G4 TV's relaunch is this Tuesday, November 16th. I don't think on principle we should just give that a news headline. Like, when they do something newsworthy, we'll talk about it. But I'm kind of I'm going to be honest, and maybe I will be proved wrong. I just kind of expect a lot of sophomoric crap that was what G4 was at the end of its run. And the reality is G4 has to be competitive now with Twitch and other ways that people consume content and gamer-related content in this day and age. I wish them well. I know people that are involved. Good luck. But it's none of those people I'm concerned about. It's people at the top. If there's been one message tonight, executives ruin everything. There it is. All right. Anyway, let's get everybody's final thought. Dark Soccer, your final. I appreciate you bringing up the comment, though. I just wanted to explain why we haven't really talked more about it. The G4 thing. Not you, Dragon. I was talking about the G4 thing. I appreciate you bringing it up. I just wanted to address why we haven't talked more about it. I don't see why we should. All right, Dar Sakura, your final thought.
I'll go ahead and open up on this one. I am being tested for narcolepsy, which is a test by omission. So, wish me luck.
Is that this week or no?
Cause you no. Have to... I'll give the details. So, the weaning off of my medication is because the medications that I'm on right now are actually used to treat narcolepsy. They have to take me off of my antidepressants and my sleeping meds and a couple of other things, which I may have to quit cold turkey to get it out of my system. I've actually started weaning myself until they give me my date. And then 2 weeks before my sleep lab, I stop taking them, whether I'm weaned off or not. And then I do my sleep lab. And then a week after that, I should hopefully be back on my meds and back to okay. But I am not a very good person to be around when I am not on my meds. I am on them for a very important reason. So when that goes down, I am going to make an announcement. I am off my meds. And if I snap at you, I'm sorry. I'm very sorry. So there you go. Blanket message.
All right.
And that's it.
All right. Well, have a good... I'm assuming you're streaming as usual after the show tonight, so have a good stream.
Heck yeah.
All right.
Yep.
Have fun.
All right. Bye.
And we'll go to Loki with your final thought tonight.
My final thought is I have a lot of work to do on my episode.
Well, yeah, good luck.
So that'll be coming out soon. It's a really cool build. It's fun. It's all farms, and then... it's also Hermitcraft themed. I really got to get away from that. But it's fun. I had an idea for a pun at the beginning of the season, and so I finally got around to it.
All right. And my final thought is it's been a crazy last 2 weeks. I'm kind of glad that I have some stuff sort of out there in the open now, and I'm not just kind of stewing on it. And thanks again, everybody, for being very lovely about it. And it's nice to know that I'm not alone. The future... will be bright. I have spoken it into existence. It will happen. There is nothing you can do about it. The future will be bright. That's going to do it. Have a bright 7 days, and enjoy all the games coming out. Pokemon fans, enjoy those remakes. Battlefield, whatever else you're into. Enjoy all that other good stuff that's coming out this week. Have a wonderful, wonderful time, and we'll see you back here in 7 days to do it all again as Black Friday, Thanksgiving, and the real, I mean, I know people are breaking out the Mariah Carey already, but the real holiday season really starts getting into full swing. Have a wonderful week, everybody. We'll see you next time here at Orange Lounge Radio. Good night.
You've been listening to Orange Lounge Radio. Orange Lounge Radio is a production of OLR Studios. To join us for a live show, tune into VogNetwork.com Sunday nights at 6 p.m. Pacific, 9 p.m. Eastern. The views and opinions expressed in this program do not necessarily reflect those of the staff of Orange Lounge Radio or Vog Network, but you know they were all still true. See you next week.